at 101. Do we have any public comment? I don't see anyone. My daughter Lotta was going to make it today, but...
I talked to her yesterday, and she indicated that she would be there.
Yeah.
So she might be running late or something.
Yeah, I know Linda had a conflict. She wanted to come too, but... okay, well then we'll bypass that, and if they show up, we can...
Go back to it.
Always come back to public comment because that's always a big thing. Mm-hmm. Roll call. Today's a special day because we have new members. Mm. So I think we'll take a little longer on our introductions today. So as we go around the room introducing ourselves for roll call, take a moment and give a little short background about yourself. You know, what you're willing to share, why you're interested in parks, a little bit about your family, maybe. Something on that order to get everybody.
Oh.
Good to see you.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Good to see you.
We're so happy to see you.
Oh, thank you.
But you knew
how are you?
You knew that.
Hey, no.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Okay. Join us. I have to go in a little bit.
Hey, Mark, this is Kelly Putney. He's Skyping in.
Oh, yeah? Oh, hey. Hi.
Chair.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. I can stay for a few minutes. Figured I'd say hi.
Absolutely.
You even have a name? What's the deal?
You're always welcome here.
In every meeting.
I guess so.
We have a GPS tracker on here.
Really? Okay.
Saw you coming. Got that
okay.
Ready.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I'm glad.
So we were just about to do roll call.
Okay.
Being the first meeting of the year with new members, yeah. We're going to pull that out a little bit longer and share a little more about ourselves today.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
With that, let's start over here with Kelly, since you're farthest away from us today.
Kelly, who are you?
Do you want to hear from me now, you say?
Yeah.
Yes, introduce yourself,
okay,
sir.
I'm here for the day, for a little while anyway. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you.
Congratulations on your new position. Congratulations to the three new members. And thank you, Barbara, for all your good work last year. Appreciate it. Bill? Great job last year getting the comprehensive plan done. Thank you for that, for allowing us to put that together. I thought it came out very well. So anyway, that's my spiel for the moment.
Thanks, Kelly, and we'd like to thank you for your years and years and years of service.
Yeah.
Not just last year. It's been an honor working with you, and we hope that you continue to come back and stay with us.
Thank you.
Yes, Kelly. Honestly, you did a fantastic job along with the other Parks Advisory Board members. You brought this comprehensive parks plan all the way to our goal. And a big thanks to you and all the effort that you put into it and the care about being on this Parks Advisory Board and all the things that you've done. To really help us move forward. So thank you so much for all your service, Kelly.
Thank you.
I look forward to working with you in any capacity that you wish to, so I hope to continue working with you in the future.
And when you get back, we're going to talk about that arboretum some more.
One thing I do want to mention, I suppose before I close out here, I'd like to make sure that we continue to work with the green spaces in Portland and the intertwined system. It's certainly a huge tool for us to get the word out to the public. And I think that cooperation with the greater region is important. There's quite a bit of effort going on the Vancouver side of the river, Clark County side, that we need to be involved with. Hope to see some faces there as we move forward.
And hopefully you'll keep us on task on that.
We've got a big project that we're going to possibly declare a little later on. I was going to talk about it at this meeting today, just an introduction to. But we met with Mr. Cohen with Intertwine, and we're going to have a meeting with him next week and to talk about the declaration of that meeting in conjunction with several cities, ports, and private constituents. So when you come back, maybe we can talk about that, Kelly.
Right. That's important.
Good. Well, Chris, you missed the fact that we're going to extend our meeting, so we'll our roll call introductions today. So we'll start with Adam instead and catch you on the end. So you'll get an idea. And Adam's running away. He doesn't want to share.
My name is Adam Babuka. Part of the park board. I love parks. I love green spaces. Currently, my background is I work for a nonprofit for about 9 years in about 30 different countries. And then I came back to Washington State and I finished my bachelor's degree, and now I'm pursuing an MBA with George Fox.
Mm. At the end. Chris Bay, liaison for Evergreen Public Schools to the board.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll just keep going this way then.
All right, I'm Leanne Mattis. I work for Clark County Parks. To build your parks manager. I've been with parks for almost 2 years now, and I've been with the county for a little over 18 years, and a little over 10 of those years have been in public parks, so it's like family.
So I'm Bill Bierke, parks manager, and I kind of grew up here in parks. I got started as a temp. Actually, I got started from FFA, spring break, back when I was 16. And I worked that week, and then they liked me so much that they brought me back the next summer.
That's cool.
Provided I had a driver's license, which I got.
Wow.
And then I worked that first summer, and actually worked every summer through high school. And then I kept working summers through college. And then eventually I got on it. At the age of 22, I came on full-time as a grounds maintenance specialist. And then I worked my way through the ranks. I became a vegetation maintenance specialist. And then I became the crew chief, and I held the crew chief position for 11 years. And then I became the operations maintenance superintendent. And then from there, I became the parks manager. So I've pretty much seen every level through the whole park system, so I can relate to everybody that works in parks. I love it. You know, this is a great job. Couldn't ask for a better job than this. And I get to work with great folks like yourselves and our citizens of Clark County. And I wouldn't want to be anyplace else. And as of April of this year, I'll have 30 years in full time.
Wow.
I'm becoming one of those tribal elders that are
Wow.
That's me in a nutshell. So.
Okay. Jeremy Knuth, Clark County Parks. I actually started with the City of Vancouver in 2003 as a budget office and then transferred to Vancouver Clark Parks and Recreation in 2006 and then transferred over to the county in December 2014. Wow. And I do project or capital repairs and property management and kind of a slew of other things since we started this department in 14.
That's very good. You want me to say a few words?
Absolutely.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. This is one of my favorite things as a council member. When I was a commissioner, when I was a commissioner before, I started the Camp Bonneville project. I'm still alive through the Camp Bonneville project. I have the Camp Bonneville project back on my plate. So someday it will be open, and someday you'll have all kinds of things to talk about when we open that glorious, that'll be the place on the West Coast. So hope you all stay. I've done all kinds of parks, Luke Jensen, and then I did the Heritage Farm across the street. So, but this is it's a great committee, and you work with all different cities, and hopefully we can get back to working together again, and that's the key. So thank you very much.
It's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
My name is Jay Chester. I was born and raised in Texas and left it. Heard there was another 49 states outside of Texas. I am the black sheep of my family because my family is still back in Texas. I haven't come back in 30 years now. Been in Clark County since 99. I'm a project manager, an engineer by education, civil engineer by education. And what drew me to the Parks Board was I've been heavily involved in the youth soccer programs around town, and especially the one in Harmony. And that's where I got to know the Parks Board. I know Bill, I've always wanted to help in any organization I'm involved in, and so therefore, if Harmony, we were going to stay there, then I wanted to help with the parks. So that's how I got into the. I asked and volunteered to help with the Parks Board. So that's it.
And welcome. We're
thank
happy
you.
To have you.
Yeah, thank you.
My name is Jeff Mize. My formal title is Public Information Outreach Manager for the Clark County Department of Public Works. That basically means I handle most communications, media relations, web work, outreach, a variety of activities. Been with the county department for a little more than 6 years now. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but it has been that long. I actually had another job in the community before that, but since Chairman Bolt is here, I don't want to conjure a bad memory. So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, looks like we have a resident that
My name's Amanda Mikebrake, and I'm the deputy prosecuting attorney who's assigned to represent Parks. And so I thought I'd just come today. And, my hope is to be able to come to the monthly meetings just so that I can get an understanding of what's happening for Parks and what projects are coming up and what issues are coming up and that sort of thing. So I'll just be here observing quietly from the corner. So.
Well, excellent. And we're always open to any guidance you have to offer.
Excellent.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Amanda.
I'm Barbara Anderson. I've been a resident of Clark County since just early 2000s. I moved up here when I retired because that's where my children and grandchildren were, and I was spinning the wheels off my car coming to visit. And I got interested in parks because when I built my house, the builder told me, aha, you're going to have a park just right down the street. And there was a big sign up that said, future site for your neighborhood park. Well, then a call came out that our neighborhood association was going to be reinvigorated because the park was going to be built. Well, we had noticed in the meantime that that sign had gone down and was nowhere around. So we said, where's this park? Well, turned out it was in a different location. They said that sign was up in air, and that our park was going to be built over here. So we invigorated the North Salmon Creek Neighborhood Association to help support that effort. And I was elected president and kind of drove that group. And lo and behold, when we walked into the land that they told us our park was going to be on, I said to Dan, who was another board member, this can't be a park, it's wetland. Sure enough, the voice came back that said, whoopsie, we can't build this park. It's wetland. There's no place large enough in all this acreage to place a play area. Well, of course, that got me on my little tirade. And we need a park because literally Park District 10 is pretty, well, it's coming up this year with some major issues around even finding land in that district to purchase. But the Chinook Park was built, I want to say that, but it was almost 9 years later. It took 9 years to get that going. And in that time, because with my grandchildren, I like to take what we call day excursion, and we visit all the different parks. And with that, that's the primary motivator for me, is I feel that parks were such a big part of my growing up, that it's important to have children have safe places where they can go and play. And in our environment today, homeowners associations tend to limit. We can't have toys in our front yard. Density has driven lot sizes so small, they're not big enough to put a swing structure on. These parks are critical, so you'll find my voice is always very vocal when it comes to play areas for children. I've been on the Parks Advisory Well, since it was the Parks and Recreation with Vancouver Group, and I love the fact that we've had such an impact, and it's wonderful working with just Clark County now, and we're looking at getting back out those relationships. So you'll find that relationships always come high on my list too, because by combining with other neighborhood associations, we've been able to bring a stronger voice and drive actions towards new parks. That's where our key relationships will come into play, I think, as a budget front faces us. I have four grandchildren. I have three children, and I live in Santa Creek. That's me.
And you threw a mean holiday party.
That was fun. Yes, you missed.
You did not want me around.
No, if you were sick.
No, I was down for the count. I'm John Spencer. Professionally, I was most recently a city administrator for the city of North Bonneville. So I come after all this from the staff perspective. I quit that job and went into consulting. I also happen to be a commissioner with the Port of Kamiswashugal. So I can actually look at it from the elected's position as well. I am a longtime resident. I've moved here in 1980, graduated from Camas High School, and live all of 5 miles from where I started. My perspective on parks is, and when I say parks, it's parks and trails. Trails to me are just another form of a park, and in some ways a better park. I'm a jogger. I love to get out there. I've got two kids who need to get out into nature. We're lucky enough we've got a lot of land around us, but it's key to upbringing. It's key to creating community from a policy wonk perspective. If you want to develop a cohesive community, a community that understands what's going on in the city or the area, a community that works together, plays together, all those classic keywords, you build some parks, build some trails, get them out there and together in public spaces. So I'm very much a supporter of parks. I would fund them before anything else, hint, hint. And it's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
I'm Laura St. John, and, you know, I'm usually one that just helps people do what they need to get done. I was in the school district for 22-plus years. Probably volunteered a number of years before I started working with them. And then I retired. After my husband retired, he worked for the sheriff's office for about 30 years. We moved here in 1977, raised two daughters, have three grandsons, and my daughter April is having a baby girl in April. So that's easy for even me to remember. And I enjoy walking Salmon Creek Trail. I enjoy parks. We came from a city that had parks. I just thought everybody had parks. Vancouver, we've seen a lot of changes and good changes since we moved here. And I think just applying for the board was a big step for me, but it was kind of like a thing on the bucket list. It wasn't something I thought I would be sitting here with you doing. Probably more relaxed at the interview than I am now, because I just didn't think I would be sitting here with you, but I thought parks are important. I voted for them in 2005 because I thought it was my responsibility to do that. It passed with a very narrow margin, and then you're thinking, you know, a lot of people don't want these, but they're going to be paying for them forever. And then there was the recession, and so we've been waiting a long time for parks. And I was, you know, I still think they're important. I think people want to pay for them. I think it's a good thing for families for all the reasons that were mentioned. And I hope that my part will be very positive, and because I do believe in them, and I would continue to pay for them, you know, and hopefully we can show everybody that it's a good reason that they're paying their taxes for them. You know, I can't think of any reason that I would change my mind.
And you're with a group of like-minded individuals.
I know it.
So you don't need to be nervous.
I know it.
My name is Dave Weston. Lived in Hazeldale all my life, except for the 4 years I went to Washington State, Pullman. Cool. Came back, no question, that's where I was coming back to, and brought my wife back from school. So now we've been here another 10, 11 years after school. And professionally, I'm a land use planner. I went to school for landscape architecture with emphasis in land use planning. So I've got the green side, but I like, you know, the functionality aspect and connecting different spaces, and that's where parks and trails and, you know, community spaces really pique my interest. I'm excited to be able to help out, and hopefully, you know, we have a lot of contacts and developers and stuff, and I'd never really thought of it before. You know, they set aside this land, and typically it goes into an HOA or whatnot, but, you know, there's opportunities. When I met Phil this last year, to possibly, you know, some of those parks could become public and help connect, especially with trails. I mean, without the trail master plan where, you know, you basically, if you develop here, you're required to put through some kind of access. I mean, I just don't see it happening. And I think that could be really important. And if you want it, you got to take it before the land's developed. So
that's great.
That's all I got.
Very good.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Let's go back and pick up on Temple and Candace.
All right. I'm Temple Lentz. I'm the executive director of the Parks Foundation, so I'm an ex officio member of the board. And I have the privilege of having it be my job to raise money to support parks, which is great. And the Parks Foundation, for those of you who don't know about it, is an independent nonprofit, and we support all of the parks districts in the county, so Clark County and City of Vancouver and all of the smaller cities as well. We manage funds for a lot of special projects, so specific trail projects, specific park projects, and then we also give community grants every year at our luncheon, which I look forward to seeing you all at in May, where we give community grants to the different communities in town. So yeah, I'm happy to be here.
They provide a great service for the neighborhoods that are not nonprofits. So like our neighborhood, before we got our 501c3, we were using the Parks Foundation to funnel monies for like the bricks and such at the Chinook Park that never got down, but that's another story. So they provide a service to that supports parks through many fingers. How much do we have for grants this year, can I ask?
We are actually still tallying because our end of year appeal, they're just at the very end of the year, all of the money that we raised from that is going to community grants. So I know from that alone we have about $20,000, but also people donate to grants throughout the year. So I know the county has the application, but applications for this year's grants are open through the end of this month. And then we'll be pulling our team together to review the grants and then give them out in May. So we are optimistic. Also, once we see all the grants, we go out and see how we can raise more money to support them.
Yeah.
So we're not done yet. And yeah, our biggest function actually is doing managing the money for a lot of smaller groups, neighborhood associations, small groups that are affiliated with the municipalities and the county, but that don't have the resources to manage those funds themselves.
Yeah. Great resource. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Candace Paradis. I didn't grow up here, but I moved here. Well, actually, I got stationed here in 1992. I served in the Air Force and Air Guard, Oregon Air Guard, for 21 years, and I retired in 2003. I then went to work for, I was a facility manager there, so I was in charge of facilities and grounds and maintenance. went on to become a facility manager for Camp Withicum and worked at the military department for a while when everybody's getting deployed to try to fill in and help out. And then I went to work for WashDOT for a while and did maintenance on roads. And then I went to another county in Oregon, Washington County, and I was their facilities and parks manager there for 8 years. And then I retired, got bored, so now I just recently became a broker at Berkshire Hathaway as a real estate broker. So I've just started that adventure, which I'm having fun with that. When I worked at Washington County, I did parks, and I had to fight all the time for money. And I just felt it was a really important thing that I just felt that hopefully some of my experience could add value, because I know that in the whole budget scheme, sometimes parks isn't the highest priority. So I was hoping I could add value to this group in trying to think of some other ways to do things and maybe some other things to propose to get money, you know, more money to help with the parks. I have two boys that went to school at Fort Vancouver, and then I've got two stepsons that went to Hawkinson, and currently my grandchildren go to Hawkinson. We live out in the Hawkinson area. We have a great park out that way, and my grandkids love it, and mm-hmm. I love to hike and walk on trails and stuff, so I just was hoping that I could add value to the group in those areas, so that's why I joined the board and wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that the one thing that you heard is we went around the table. Oh, do we have one more person?
I'm Steve Henderson, and I'm late.
Yeah, just a yes and no out.
I went to, but, yeah. I walked into a test over at Luke Jensen.
I also walked into that.
That's pretty awesome.
Did you take the test?
I'm the public works director for Clark County, so I've been with the county now for about 17 years.
And welcome. So back as I was saying, the one thing that you heard as we went around the table is how different we all are and that we have different focuses. And I have to say that that's where our greatest strength comes from. As we worked through the comprehensive plan last year, that was what I think brought about one of the best plans I've seen, maybe I'm biased, but in a long time. But it's the diversity of this group that makes it difficult sometimes to come to decisions and takes more discussion. However, it's what gives us the strongest stand, is because we do represent a very large, diverse county. So thank you, all of you, for the time you've given us. And for you new members, we're looking forward to working with you. So moving right along, we've got our November minutes. You've had a moment to review them. Entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the November minutes as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Well, the next thing that's on our list is we held over the elections until January because our December meeting was a party instead. So now is the time to take a look at our need to have a chair, co-chair, and secretary. So I will deem that nominations are open.
Well, go ahead and start it off, since we talked about this ahead of time, that I'll nominate myself and Barbara as co-chairs.
And I will say, we did discuss that, but I wanted to see if there were...
Yes. If anybody else is interested, I'd be glad to step back. I did that, really, it was Kelly wrenching my arm behind my back.
Yeah. Is there a second to that?
Second to that.
Any other nominations?
We need a secretary and we need a...
Well, yeah, but you take them one at a time.
All right.
You guys will do awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that co-chairing is always better than having a chair and vice chair. It worked well for Kelly and I. Well, all in favor then?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Congratulations. Woo-hoo. Thank you for signing up.
Thank you. As I said, it's always hard to step back. I can't imagine, because I care so much about parks. I'd have my mouth going anyway. You probably remember. Okay, we do need a secretary.
Now, I don't think Adam wants to do it again. I think he was pretty clear on that last time.
I just want to, you know, give someone else the great opportunity.
You want to open the opportunity for others, I think you said?
Yeah. I would like to share.
Well, it's always difficult with the secretary role to nominate someone, because it is a responsibility. So I'd like to ask for a volunteer then.
I'll just throw out there that if you look at the minutes that Adam created for this last time, they're a set presets for form that Adam types into. I believe Leanne gives that to him, or Gabe. You gave it to him. Somebody gave it to him. Anyway, point being is the form is there. It's not extensive. It basically just means doing a little bit of typing at the meeting, and not too bad after that. So don't be afraid.
I can add on to that as well. I think that all we're really recording on the minutes right now are the motions that are made during the course of the board.
That's what Robert's rules require.
Basically, the minutes of the meeting are recorded, and those go into our Parks Grid, so you can listen to any one of our meetings since this board was formed. And so that pretty much memorializes everything that's going on with the board.
Right.
So just to know that.
Okay. So it's not difficult.
So Dave, Laura, Jay, somebody.
Well, we need someone, so I guess we'll sit silent until we have a volunteer. How's that for twisting your arm?
So we have to type them up at the meeting?
No.
You don't have to do it at the meeting.
We need them out before the next meeting.
Yeah. Adam's been doing it at the meeting out of convenience. That's the way he does it. But you can jot it down on paper and submit afterwards.
And the recording is available to listen to if you ever need to go back.
Sure.
So it's really just a matter of checkmarking who attended,
right. And
then capturing the minutes as far as the motions. There's really not much else there unless there's an action item. If you go through the Robert's Rules, that's really all that's required.
Pressure's on.
I'll do it if no one else wants to. That's fine.
Yeah. Thank you for volunteering. There's a man.
So, formally, I'll move that Dave be elected.
Okay, second
secretary.
Somewhere.
Second?
It's been moved and seconded to Dave Weston be the recording secretary. All in favor?
Aye, aye,
aye.
Any opposed? Other than Dave? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the time of our meetings.
Do we not have a vice chair position as well?
The co-chairs.
The co-chair is considered
because
vice chair.
Because we're co-chairs, it's the same.
She'll be teaching me for the next year.
Yeah. We'll partner. We'll be good. The next thing is the meeting time. You know, when we were the Parks and Recreation group, we always did a back lunch type meeting and met at noon. Instead, and we've been meeting at 1 o'clock. I think we changed shortly after the first meeting of this group to 1 o'clock. And I know that I don't want to complain or change anybody's life, but if it isn't a problem for people, I'd like to discuss going back to that noon start time, only because it saves me about $40. You know, because babysitters are expensive. Does anyone object to us meeting at noon to 2:30 instead of 1 to 3:30?
Fine by me.
Thank you so much. I hate to be a cheapskate, but being retired, it does put a drain on the budget. All right, so we will begin in February with a noon start time. And then feel free to brown bag I mean, it used to be they bought our lunch, but that's okay. We're volunteers, and we've always been happy to bring our own.
Don't buy lunch anymore?
We bring snacks.
What's the deal?
They do bring snacks, Mark. Didn't you notice?
All that money, there's savings going in the parks fund, though, right?
That's right. Oh. Absolutely. No, Leanne, she's very frugal, but she does a great job of taking good care of us with her little budget. But we're
Bill
okay with
buy.
That. yeah.
Hey Barbara, would that be a motion? Would that action? I honestly don't know. What do you
No, that's an administrative action.
Okay. Does that go into this as well?
Yes.
Okay.
It needs to be recorded, yes. Okay. It's just an administrative. Well, does somebody want to make a motion that we do that? I mean, we can't.
I don't think we need to. It's consensus.
I don't think we need to.
Okay, great.
Okay, next thing is I wanted to talk about, we had a great time at our party. And those that missed it.
Sorry.
You missed. That's all I can say.
It was great.
But, you know, recognizing that the last couple of Christmas time parties we've done have had a questionable attendance. And we looked at it, we said, well, you know, it's really probably the wrong time of year. One of the things that we want to focus on is building relationships with other parks groups. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
And we think that reaching out and building these relationships with the Camas group, they actually said they'd be there and then no one showed up, that you must have shared with all of them at your meeting. The Battleground, Ridgefield. What were the other groups we?
Oh,
the
Flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at, like, I know, is Karen here yet? Karen Llewellyn.
Yes, she's over your other shoulder. She's back there.
Oh, yeah, she showed up. Maybe bringing in some of the volunteers that show up all the time for that and expanding it a little. And doing a summertime festivity in a park. What a better way for us to talk about parks than to be in a park and make it, I don't know, just some way of bringing people together in an informal setting. As you get to know people, you know, it's real easy to take statements and make comments when you don't know people. When you know people, all of a sudden, you can make things happen, right? So our peer groups are very important for us to build those relationships with, I feel. So as part of that, I said, let's do a summer festivity in a park. But the one thing I know is that we don't need to make all the plans for it now. But what we do have to do, even though we're the parks group, is reserve that space. So I'd like to just chat a little bit about whether you feel that's a good function if we want to do it, and if so, which of our wonderful parks would we want to do it in? It would need to be one of the larger ones that has some facilities. But what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, the Christmas party, I wish I could have came, but my husband's company party was at the same time, so there's just a lot of conflicting things going on at Christmas time, so I think it makes it hard for people.
Yeah.
And then they're getting ready for Christmas and all those things. But summertime, in my past experience when we've had events, seems like summertime worked a lot better than during the holidays.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea. Which park? I don't know which is the best one. There's a lot of great ones. So.
We got
That one that we went and did the swinging at. Mm-hmm.
Louisville Park. That's a great spot.
I love that park because it's the oldest one in Clark County. So there is some history there that we could really share with people as a good talking point. You know, or there's Vancouver Lake, too, which is maybe closer in and has great facilities. What do you think?
I'd say yes to the events, and Louisville is closer to me.
It's closer to you, you're honest. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea to have the parks and everything. I'm debating in my mind about Harmony, and only because I'm familiar with it, but we also have facilities there. We have restroom facilities. We have a building there that has an open area inside. You know, we have some access to it. It also shows other groups what can happen with a park. It's a combination of, you know, the sports complex leases the property from the county as a park. I mean, you know, it's just one of those situations where I don't know if it, you know, being new to the board, it could show how things could happen. We just put in the two new turf fields. Mm-hmm. And that was all done with private financing. So, I mean, you know,
is there, I've not been to Harmony. What's
I'm on 192nd, East Vancouver.
Does it have like river or
no, it does not have, it doesn't have any swimming access or anything like that. It doesn't have swinging access. It's not a typical, it's a sports complex.
Okay.
So just a thought.
Yeah, well, a sports complex is wonderful, but I think for a family event.
Family event, if it's truly a family event, then it needs to be at another place. You're right.
Yeah.
Because it's a single focus type.
So. Yeah, but maybe we want to do some other type of activity.
Well, yeah,
there.
I think it'd be a good opportunity focus for a visit sometime, maybe have a meeting out there.
One thing we could actually think about doing as a group sometime is get together and go on a parks tour. That's one thing we could try to do this year, so we can go out and see the multitude of different types of facilities that we've got out there, the parks, you know, the different trail systems that we've got. I think it would be a great opportunity.
It
was actually on my to-do list to suggest that we try meeting at a couple of the parks as well, just gets us out there and view stuff. Yeah, so we're all thinking the same thing, I think, one way or the other.
Okay, well, any other input? Okay, then let's look at a date. I was thinking we want to stay away from 4th of July because everybody's busy. So we want to stay away from the time frame where everybody's getting ready to go back to school because timing is important.
Looking at a weekday, weekend, Barbara?
Probably a Saturday, maybe?
Yeah, it's really for the
group. When the families can come, because I think it's good if you invite them, but also say bring your families. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can get into the specifics of exactly what we want to do, but maybe we provide chicken and have everybody bring potluck or something like that and say, you know, bring your families. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Grill burgers or something.
Yeah, grill burgers. And I'm betting that we can get a couple of groups to work with us and letting us use their 501c3s to get donations for that.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's look at the calendar. Oops, it flew by. Come back here. Why does it always do that?
Are you thinking like July, August?
Yeah, I'm thinking June probably is still rainy. So I was thinking
like July 30th is a Saturday.
What's the one before that?
The 23rd.
July 23rd. How about we go for the 23rd? Because I'm thinking stay away from getting too close to the 4th.
So, sure.
I can.
So. June 23rd, you said?
Oh, I said July
20. Yeah. July 23rd.
Well, because I was just thinking it's usually.
Oh, okay.
A little bit drier as you go out there.
But it's usually pretty nice during July, August.
Yeah.
And you're away from July 4th because a lot of people travel those couple weeks.
When does kids get out of school?
Mid-June, I think.
18th to the 20th of June.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's after school sounds. Okay, July 23rd, and at...
we'll check with Eric to see what hasn't been booked yet at Louisville Park, because that's the first one that books up for the entire season.
Yep.
And we'll look, and if there's some openings there, we can talk about which site we want to meet at. But we'll just pick
How one. About you pick the best site for us that has the big tables?
And I might suggest that if there are no openings for that particular date... would we either want
to
pick another date or another
the 30th.
Location? So we can do the 30th?
Yeah, 23rd is first and then
30th
is second.
And we're talking what?
July.
10 to 1 or 11 to 2?
Well, we'll talk about that later. We'll book the park for the whole day, right?
Yeah, you get the shelter
for the
whole day. You get the shelter for the whole day. So that was my main concern. You know, we'll set up a little sub-team to get some of the details together to bring back to the group as a recommendation later. But if we don't have the facility, we won't be doing it.
You probably prefer one that has maybe like a little food prep area and possibly a grill.
And hopefully you've got some pull on that for us. So you'll take care of that for
us,
right?
Look into that. Right,
super duper.
So, Bill, would that be, I really like that idea of visiting.
The park tour?
Yeah, like I'm doing a park tour.
Absolutely.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that a...
I've got my chauffeur's license so I can haul more than 12 people. No, yeah, we could set that up. Anytime you guys want to do that, I'll just need a little bit of prep time to make that happen.
Yeah, and did that gal from the RCO ever get back to us?
Yes. And in fact, we've got a field trip with her on the first Wednesday of February. And
you
know,
invite
Dan Roy, Land Trust, Pat Lee with Legacy Lands, and myself are going on a field trip to go look at those our priority grant locations.
Okay.
So yes, we're in touch.
Great. Okay. 2015 accomplishments and goals for 2016.
Yes. 2015 accomplishments and goals for 2016. Well, I didn't actually prep for that, but I can talk about our accomplishments. The biggest one we have done as a group, and it took us the entire year, was a comprehensive parks, recreation, open space plan. And that was a fantastic effort on the part of our Parks Advisory Board. And I think we had nothing but compliments from the Board of County Councilors and we had full support of the Planning Commission. It was a great effort, and I'm very proud of what this board has accomplished in the 2015 year. 2015 marked the second year of our Parks Division, and we've basically got our feet under us, and we're actually moving forward as a united group and doing very well. And so I look forward to 2016 and all the things that we have identified in our Parks and Recreation Open Space Plan. We're actually taking some action on those high priority items and moving forward. I'll be talking about some of those today in the manager's report. But we've got some pretty exciting things coming up. The one thing that we're definitely looking at is the acquisition of properties. Some of them are more forced than others because we have concurrency issues that we're facing in our Park Impact Fee program. Others are just opportunities that come up with people that are willing to sell their property to us. Just out of the blue, we get phone calls. We get people like Kelly with his connections that are connecting us to citizens who are interested in selling their property to us or leaving a legacy. And then we're constructing Sorensen and Tower Crest Park this year. So that's actually a milestone for us, given the Great Recession that we've been through. We're actually getting back on track and moving forward with the construction of our remaining MPD parks, which I'm very happy to see that happen. So it's going to be a very exciting year, and I will keep you apprised of all the different things that we've got going on. The one thing I've been talking to Jeff Mize about this year, with the launching of this of our new website, on our parks page, the one thing that's really not there that we talk about, but it doesn't really show up unless you listen to the minutes of these meetings, is the what's happening in parks. You know, the week to week, month to month things that are going on. What are we up to? You know, a great for instance is we're just wrapping up the brand new play equipment installation at Stockford Village Park. That's going to be completed sometime next week, and so people don't really know about that unless they're here at Parks Advisory Board. And so things like that, when we acquire properties, when we're developing properties, just heads up on different events that are coming up. So we like to have a particular just page set up for that so you can get on there, see what's happening, and I think that's going to help our community get more involved, you know, with what we're up to, and so to basically turn the lights on and encourage more inclusiveness. So
that's a great idea. Do you have a mailing list?
Email list.
Well, I'm thinking of...
Yes, we have about a 5,000 person email list.
Well, I'm
yes.
thinking of that weekly mailer I get from Vancouver Parks and Rec that does exactly that, and that's...
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right on track. That's the thing that gets us right in their face, which is what we want to do. We want our name out
there.
Wheel,
right?
I can't tell... Well, I can't tell you the number of comments I got back when we sent our invitations out to all these different groups for the Christmas function. What's PAP? You know? Clark County has parks? You know? These comments just totally blow me away. So like we talked about last year, that marketing is so important.
It is, and citizens in Clark County, I don't know if they really even care if it's a Clark County park or a city of Vancouver park or a city of Battleground park. All they know is there's parks out there, and they want to know how to get to them and if they can use them. And so that's a big component. We're trying to brand ourselves, if you will, as a new division and saying, hey, here's Clark County Parks. This is what we can offer for you. And so that's one of our missions. As well, as one of our top goals was to go out and establish partnerships, both with the private sector, like with Mulata here, with the Mulata Neighborhood Association, as well as our cities, our ports. So there's a project that we're working, or actually it's just we're talking about it right now, a meeting with the Intertwine next week to talk about a potential project that we will need all the partners. That would be Ridgefield, Port of Ridgefield, City of Vancouver, Camas, Port of Camas, Washougal.
Who's Intertwine?
What's that?
Who's Intertwine?
Intertwine.
The Intertwine Alliance. It's a consortium of different entities, Portland and Clark County.
Okay.
And so Clark County is a small branch of that. But we met with David Cohen, who's one of the directors, if you will, or key players with the Intertwine. And they have received $1 million per year grant from the Department of Fish and Wildlife to support a mission or a project that could bring all these different groups together and to work collectively on a project. And so we, being the regional service provider, they're kind of looking to us to actually be take the lead, if you will, to try to bring other leads in and have a project that we would declare. I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but the one project that we've talked about doing that would include all of these jurisdictions along the Columbia River, ourselves and Portland potentially, is the wildlife to wildlife refuge trail. So that would be the Ridgefield Wildlife Refuge all the way to the one in the Washougal.
Staggerwald.
And so having a trail connected all the way through, that would include all the key players, all the jurisdictions to work together in coalition to do this. With $1 million in tow, that's what we want to try to get our hands on, so we can get probably a consultant team together to continually work on that goal. It's a 33-mile trail. And it's something that's going to be a long-term project. And so this is very preliminary. It's kind of in the brainchild phase right now, but we're hoping to start solidifying that thought and trying to get partners on board. So it meets our goals. It meets the priority list in our comprehensive parks plan. We know that the trail from Vancouver Lake to Ridgefield is identified as a priority. But to actually take that project and scope it out so large that it actually includes, everything between Ridgefield and Washougal.
Now, Kelly has obviously been the driver of the Intertwine.
I'm
for
hoping
us.
That I can engage him.
And is it possible that he's going to stay on board as our representative over there?
Well, the one thing that we have not done as a Parks Advisory Board is establish committees. Now, there's something that we can possibly do for special interest type functions like this.
List for this year.
That is something that we can think about doing. It's our time here is valuable. As a meantime, and obviously we can't spend countless hours like we did on the comprehensive plan to meet twice a month, for 4 hours at a time. So I think the best thing we could do is establish some committees so staff, such as myself, can meet with folks that are interested in a particular item like trail building or planning. And so that's something that we should probably talk about as a board this year, and try to establish some specialized committees. Make sense?
Absolutely.
So that's not everything that's going on in 2016, but it's a start, and I'll keep you apprised as to all the different things that we've got going on. So it's going to be a pretty exciting year. So.
Great, thanks. And now some more exciting news. Everybody had a chance to peek at the new website?
Yeah.
And turn it over. Let Jeff tell us all about it. And I did find the Did you? Funds. Yeah. I did. I stumbled around out there a little more, and it was real obvious once I got there.
First of all, good afternoon. I'm Jeff Lines with the Department of Public Works, and I'm going to give you a quick preview of our website that debuted back on December 17th. We're actually pretty excited about this. It's a major improvement over our old website, which quite frankly was antiquated, out of date, ready to be taken to the scrapyard. Yeah. I was pleased to see it go. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of background about why we changed and then drill down to public works and parks. First of all, why did we change? Well, as I said, the old site was antiquated. It was clunky. It was difficult to maintain. The vendor was no longer going to support it. Second, the old site had limited accessibility for people who are blind or have sight disabilities, something important today. And then finally, I think this is probably one of the biggest benefits of the new website, is that the old website was not responsive to people who use smartphones and tablets to obtain information. And I'm going to give you an idea of what I mean by that in just a second. On the old site, when you were on a smartphone, you were constantly pinching and zooming just to try to read a single line. The new website is responsive. What does that mean? It means it reconfigures to fit the device the user is using. Right now, you're basically seeing the PC version. You will see that there are three columns here. But if I take it down a little bit, this is now down to one column. You can see how it just reconfigures. Everything fits there. It just comes out in a different order. That's what you would see on your smartphone. And then if you had a tablet, you would see something like, am I down to two columns yet? Take it a little bit more. This is like the two column you would see on a tablet. This is something extremely important because we're just seeing a major increase in the amount of traffic from mobile computing. I do have a couple of numbers for you here. Back in 2012, 16% of our web traffic was coming from tablets and smartphones. 2013 was up to 27%. By 2014, it was at 45%. I don't have a figure for today, but I wouldn't be surprised more than half the traffic is coming through smartphones and tablets. And now we have a website that's responsive to those users. Very important. One other thing I wanted to mention is that the new website is a lot easier for web authors like myself to work on. I can add large photos, I can add videos, I can create pages, I can rework the navigation. It's really been a blessing. I can't tell you how much easier, and just quite frankly, how much more fun it is to work on it too. The old website was kind of like something like the car that was broken down that you really didn't want to mess around with. This one, you want to take it out and drive. Going to go through some of the features you see on the countywide website. Very first thing I'm going to point to is this orange navigation bar up here. We also call this the mega menu. It has a variety of ways to access information. I'm on the how do I. This is for the typical user. I should back up and reinforce that the website is all about serving the public. It's not about serving the county employees or anything like that. It's for people in the community, how they can get information, how they can do business with the county. I suspect a lot of people in this room, if I told you where do you go in Clark County to get a marriage license, you wouldn't know that you have to go to the auditor's office to do that. Well, now with our new website, you don't need to know it's on the auditor's office. You just go to how do I, you go down to marriage license, and you just click right there. So it's a one way of accessing the information. We have another way through services. For example, you want to find out about parks and trails. Well, it's right there. And then finally, if you like that old-fashioned approach to how we organize information, we still have the departments listed there as well, too, along with elected officials. You can access all the other elected officials besides our five-member board of county councilors here. One other thing I want to mention about the orange navigation bar is it's a sticky feature, and I'll show you what I mean by that. It remains in place regardless of what you're doing. You can scroll down on the content and you see it remains up there. This is a feature that no matter what page you go to, it will remain there. It's a way to get into countywide services. Now I do want to drill down a little bit more to some of the other things that you would see on the Public Works page, homepage, and then we'll go on to parks. Here's the Public Works homepage. A couple things I'll point out right away is the Find a Fast feature here. These are some of the top things the public wants. How do we know this? Well, we do analytics on it. but it's not entirely 100% the top 10 hits. Probably about half of them are the top 10 hits, and some of the other ones are things that, quite frankly, we want to point people to. There's one thing here you might get a chuckle out of that's called what not to flush. We have a major problem with our sewage treatment plant and our pump stations of people flushing a variety of products down the toilet that they should not be flushing. This hasn't gotten that much traffic yet, but this is an example of how we're trying to push information out to the public and put it a little bit more prominently. Some of the other things I would mention here, you see we have these three photos here. These are what we call sliders, and they rotate every about 5 seconds or so. And if you wait just a couple more seconds, you will see one come up on parks. And you can click on that, and it takes you right to the parks. And you come to the parks homepage. I'm going to go back, and we'll come to parks in just a second. These are basically seasonal type sliders. They're designed to tie into what's going on at that time of the year. Consequently, I think you just saw we had a snow pile out there because we were out with winter weather just a few days ago. We also have something to enjoy your parks year-round. Just because it's cold and rainy does not mean our parks are closed. Barbara was just mentioning the park impact fees. We have them listed right down here along with information from about the County Road Fund. This is just another way to access information. It's information we highlight. This is likely going to change. We're going to be looking at what kind of hits we get, what kind of analytics we get back, and make adjustments based on that. And then we have a block for our primary content here. Right here, CBTV recently did a nice little piece on how to enjoy your parks during the winter. If we had a little bit more time, I would play it for you, but I would encourage you to watch it on your own time. We have information about some of our road projects that are still going on down here, and even a video from several years ago about bridge projects. Over on the left-hand side, we have what we call our left-hand navigation. This is where you will find most of the content on the website. It's organized by general categories. You can see we have roads, bridges, and traffic signals. Right below that, parks and trails, property and survey, transportation, flooding, a variety of things. Now I'm going to drill down onto the parks content. Before I do that, one thing I want to mention about the left-hand navigation is, you see these little plus signs? When you see a plus sign, you can just click on that and the content expands below it, which is a real nice feature. For parks and trails, you see all the different content listed here. This was a way to really kind of flatten our web organization, make information more visible, more accessible to the public, which is this is what this website is all about. I'm going to take you to the parks homepage. We actually have been getting away from homepages, but we ended up putting up a homepage for parks for two reasons. Number one, Bill and his staff was constantly at me for a homepage, so I finally broke down and gave them one. But the second reason, and this was really what clinched it for me, is that if you go out into the community, you will see signs in our parks that say www.clark.wa.gov/parks. Well, if we don't have a homepage, where do we send those people to? Do you put them on one other page, find a park or trail? Do you put them on park rules? It just creates some issues that way. So when you type in www.clarkwa.gov/parks, you come to this homepage right here. And you can see we have a lot of things listed here, find a park or trail, park features, picnic shelters, park reservations, park rules, and I'm going to go through each of these in a little bit more detail. On the left-hand side, you know, a lot of the stuff you see here on the homepage is mimicked on the pull-down menus right here. Going to highlight a couple of things. Find a park or trail. This is an important feature for several reasons. First of all, this is where you will find most of the parks listed, and you can access it. And bear with me while I pull this around a little bit and get in a place where we can all see it a little bit better. We were talking just a few minutes ago about how most people probably really don't care whether it's a county park, city park, state park. I could not agree more. This is all about serving the community. Now you can drill down on this map. You can go right in and see right where you live. And for example, I live right up in here off 88th Street. I can see, oh, Tenny Creek Park is right there. And then I can go to this page and I can get information about Tenny Creek Park. This is a helpful feature if you are not clear or not certain about what parks are in your neighborhood. Just go to this map, take a look. Look at the parks that are right there. A wanted to point out a couple other features. All the parks are listed below here too, so this is another way to access it. It's not just parks too. We have trails here. We have some wildlife areas. We have a whole variety of services listed here. Some of the areas where we still need a little improvement. The amenities list, this was prepared by an outside vendor. We are still working on some of the details. We need to have a broader list of amenities here. For purists like me, I'd like to see barbecue spelled with a C, not a Q, but that's just me. But you see, again, all the different parks and recreation facilities are listed right here. Another thing I wanted to point out, let me get back up there real quick, is under dog parks or other features.
Does this link up with state?
We have the Battleground Lake State Park listed in points, but at this point we actually do not. That is something on my to-do menu, to have state parks. And believe it or not, I've actually even thought about listing some parks over in Oregon on this. Now, yeah, I know. I heard a gasp over there. Thank you for making the gasp, or did it come from the other side of the room?
Do you have Kamiswashugal and Ridgefield in there as well?
We do not.
Not yet.
Yes.
You're obviously thinking about all that.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome.
And I hear some feedback, I think, coming from the group that you would like to see that, hear that, or see that on their website. I think that is good. Wanted to point to this here because a lot of times people are interested in specific features. I have a dog. Where can I go for an off-leash area? I have a horse. Where can I go horseback riding? I like to skateboard. Where can I go for that? So we kind of break it down this way,
cool. And
you can just kind of, you know, so you want to find a dog park. Well, you come to this page and list the places. What we have dog parks here. I'm not sure where this dog came from, but it might be owned by someone in this room. Would anyone like to claim it?
Well,
this is
the cutest dog ever.
Coda, the cutest dog ever, is on our dog park webpage there. But you will see that the county facilities listed here, and we have other facilities, including one over in Washougal. And fortunately, my understanding is this dog park, Stevenson, is going to close.
That's correct. It's on private property, and we're trying to work with the city of Camas to site another replacement location. So I know Pete is talking about trying to find a site next to where the old Bowen Alley used to exist, but they're not sure if that's going to work out or not. So
Pete is our former public works director.
Yes.
We get that. Yes. Pete Capel. One of the things that I tried to do with the website is I tried to call out specific provisions in county code. A lot of times people hear, oh, county code, what's that? It's this nebulous thing floating out here. Well, I try to provide the listing right there. You can go to it, you can actually see, although it usually doesn't do that, but it takes you right there. There you can see county code dealing with dog leash areas, basically requiring your dog to be on a leash. You have other stuff about our scoop law and just general county code dealing with animals and birds there. I go back to the park features and just show you a few other things there. I mentioned that we have tried to put a lot more photos up on the webpage, and I like to use this example because when people see this, I've had several people say, oh, this makes me want to go hiking, which is exactly the reaction we want from the public, and that's why we're putting a lot more up. And if you see, we were talking about the Intertwined Alliance, there's a link to it right there too. There's also, I believe, a link on the park's homepage as well. Mentioned skate parks briefly. There are the county skate parks and skate spots. We also provide a link to Battlegrounds Skate and Bike Park, which I believe is the biggest in the county. I might be wrong about that. And again, I have thought about putting links to Portland here as well too. And if people have strong feelings one way or another on it, it'd probably be a good idea to hear that.
I would say, yeah. We're a regional provider. We want to highlight everything in the region, not just the county.
And I really like the idea of the state and, like, you know, the national forest as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big you want to take this, but
And that's always the challenge when you're dealing with this. It's kind of like, wouldn't it be great to put this in? And then suddenly you have the Library of Congress and you're kind of defeating the purpose.
Sure,
you
sure.
want it to be specific, serve the public without putting everything in there.
Sure.
I'm going to go back to trails very quickly because we do have some information here. For example, we have the Gifford Pinchot National Forest Washington Trails Association, and we provide a link to Vancouver Parks and Rec as well, too. And I wanted to mention swimming because that's something that is obviously a major issue during the summer, and it's also a safety issue. And we have information here providing safety. A lot of people don't know that drowning is a major cause of death for children in our country. And the more that we can put out there about safety tips, the better. We provide a link down here to some documents that are in Spanish and Russian as well that the Clark County Public Health Department put out, along with a link to their website dealing with public beaches. Here's some more information about drowning prevention. And then we provide a link to some of the other swimming areas in the area, the public swimming areas, whether it be Battleground Lake State Park, a couple of City of Vancouver aquatic centers, and the only outdoor swimming pool, I think, public we have in the county, and that is in Camas.
Do they say, like, if there's lifeguards in them, or is it that detailed? I'm just kind of curious.
All I basically do is link to their website.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
If they say that, they,
okay.
Yes, they do. And I don't think most of them, I know that, for example, it's taking a little while for the state to come up, but I think, you know, this just links, and it does provide a link to Battleground. And I don't think they have lifeguards out there. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them when I've been out there. And I have swam there before. There isn't that much information. You know, Camas, I know, just doesn't have much information at all about their swimming area because I was just looking at it the other day. It just takes a little bit second longer to come up. I give it about 3 more seconds. Yeah, you see, they don't have that much of just that it was built in 1954. Don't think they even provide an address to it, which, you know, next time you talk to Pete, be sure to bring that up.
Yeah.
It's because they can't decide whether they're going to keep it or not.
Some other things I wanted to mention very quickly. Took a look at swimming. Go back up to the left-hand navigation and picnic shelters. This is something that is in high public demand. It's also something, too, that a lot of times the public doesn't know a whole lot about. They know they want the shelter for this one weekend out of the year, and that's about it. They're really not sure. Well, here they have a place where they get information about the different parks that have reservable shelters, the fees charged. We even have these little PDFs that they can open that provides more information about these shelters, directions, photos, occupancy, even distance to restrooms, which is important if you have a diverse population.
So is there any that are free July 23rd?
Any shelter that is not reserved or is in a park that doesn't have reservable shelters is free on July 23rd. First come, first serve. I can tell you, Louisville tends to be pretty busy that time of year. And you can see how many shelters we have there. We have the Central that seats up to 200 people. I don't think we're going to have that big of a crowd, but who knows. Anyway, this provides a lot of information about the picnic shelters. It also provides a link to our online reservation system right there, and that takes you into the active network. This is how we're encouraging people to book shelters. You can book shelters as much as 365 days in advance. We have the time, maybe we could even try to book it right now, but I'll leave that for someone else. A couple other things I wanted to mention. We have a reservation page. This is also another way, of course, to book your picnic shelter reservations, but it allows you also to reserve sports fields, and it allows you to, what is the final thing, sports fields?
Special events, yes.
So you can do it that way. It basically, you do it all through the online reservation. It's just another way of getting there. Park rules and FAQs. We have a lot of questions about, can I bring my dog? We already talked about a little bit of what can I cannot do. Believe it or not, we get a lot of questions about whether you can hunt in a county park. For the record, you cannot. In fact, I don't believe you can shoot a gun in a county park except at the English Pit shooting range, which really isn't a park, but it's a park facility.
That's correct.
We have some of the stuff listed there. We do get some questions about recreational marijuana. You know, why can't I light up in a public park? Well, you can't do that because state law does not allow you to do that. And we link right to the state law in case anyone has any questions about that. There is the RCW right there. Provide more information down here. A little bit more information about dogs as well, too, since that's something we get quite a few questions about. Vandalism, graffiti. We have a citizen tip form that people can fill out and submit. We have information about just how you report a maintenance problem, a concern. Volunteer is something that Karen Llewellyn will be talking about in just a few minutes. We have information about how you volunteer in your parks and how you can check for current volunteer opportunities. And I think we're going to be working on this a little bit more in the not too distant future. One thing I'm going to also point to is parks projects and funding. This is where we have information about the parks that we hope to build. We plan on building, this coming year, Sorensen and Tower Crest. And then the other parks that we still have to build as part of the Greater Clark Parks District, the four neighborhood parks, and the two remaining community parks. This is also where you can access information about the park impact fee balance. It'll take you right there. This is a chart that we update every month. And Barbara, if you're writing down something wildly, just give me a call and I'll be glad to provide you with whatever you need. Greater Clark Parks District. This is a website that is still housed offsite the county server. This goes way back before I was with the county when we were still married. I had a parks marriage with the city of Vancouver. Because the Greater Clark Parks District was a county program, it had its own website. This website right here is going to be going away very soon. We're just going to fold it into the main county website. For now, it is still listed there. I hope that it will probably be bye-bye by the end of the month. But I just wanted to call that up real quick.
I know I still go here because I think it's got some really good information over there. All of the information that's there is going to be incorporated on your site before it goes bye-bye?
I think so. There's always some question because you drill down. Let me see if I can show you real quick. On some of the park projects, we have some information.
It's got a lot of history out
there.
Yes,
and there's some question in my mind, how valuable is this history of a mayor that went out 5 years ago?
I will tell you, just because I deal with the neighborhoods a lot, and I know you do quite a bit too, that when questions or comments come to me, because the issue of notifications is one of the key pieces of information that's out here that I go to. And I will tell you, I go to that all the time, the fact that, okay, just look at fairgrounds and all of the conflict that came about on the notifications, who was notified, how the decisions were made there. To this day, I still meet with, like, Jennifer Pickle over there, and she'll bring up a question. I'll go back and I'll say, no, blah, 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 and I pulled my information off this site. So if it's not going to be made available, I'd probably be out there saving stuff. So I just want to know.
You have kind of already talked me into it to some degree, I think. And I think some of the information, background information, like on fairgrounds, actually went away when it was migrated onto the city website after the park was built. Typically, what you see on the Greater Clark Parks District are the parks that have not been built yet. But you have made a strong case for providing some of this historical information, and we might be re-adding some of that in the future because I believe we still have access to all that information.
Sure.
So there's no reason why it can't be put up, and adding a PDF to the website is now.
Okay.
And Jeff, when you decommission this one, will you leave the URL active and just point it at the...
We basically will do a redirect. Cool. Right now, that's what we do with all, because the URL for the website changed ever so slightly. We went from public works all ran together to public-works. Well, what happens if someone has that page bookmarked or favorite? They get a redirect, they're automatically taken there, and that is a nice feature and a necessary feature, I may add too. Final things I may mention, something very near and dear to this group, if it comes up. You could not. It's taking a while to come up.
It wouldn't. Are you going to the
Parks Advisory Board?
Yeah, it wouldn't come up yesterday either.
It was like a 50-50 in the last couple of days.
Really?
When I went to it.
See, and that's interesting because I have not had any problems accessing it from my desk. So
I thought you were updating it, ready for today's meeting.
Well,
or something.
I kind of thought the same thing. That's
I can't tell you.
That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not coming up for me, and I have no idea why, too, to be honest with you. So I'm going to have to look into that. So sorry, but I'll try one more time just to see, but I don't think it is coming up. That's where we have the Parks Advisory Board information. It's where we have the list of meetings, where we have the audio recordings, where we have the new members listed. And if you want, we can all huddle around my computer and see if I can get it up. But right now, it does not seem to be popping up on my screen. Final thing I'll mention is the Comprehensive Parks Plan. This was obviously a major feature when it was being developed last year. Now that it's in place, I'm not sure that many people are interested in reading all 300 pages of it or whatever. But if you want to do that, it is still here.
Good bedtime reading when you're having problems.
Exactly. And we still have the CBTV video up as well, too.
Excellent.
Couple other things I'm going to mention very quickly is that we will be migrating the Greater Park Parks District pages. We will be tweaking the categories I said on Find a Park and Trail to make them more closely aligned with what we provide. I'd like to provide maybe a little greater specificity on some of our parks. We get a lot of questions about, okay, how long is the walking trail? And they want to know precisely. They want to, you know, hear, oh, it's about a quarter mile. They're more interested in something very detailed. And then one thing that Bill Bjerke is interested in is he'd like to put some videos of our shelters up so people can get a real good idea of what they look like. And that's all I have for you. If there's questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
I think it's a wonderful improvement. Really like the look of it.
I'm always interested in hearing feedback. If you don't know how to reach me, contact Bill, contact Parks. They can get information to me. I'd love to hear little things that, you know, problems you're having, things that you think would be improvements. Some of the things that I really can't do a whole lot about is like, you know, well, I really don't like this orange. I think you should use green. That's outside my control. That's a countywide branding feature. So I'm not going to be able to do anything about that. But virtually anything else, I'd love to hear comments on it.
Do you do the GIS portion also?
No, sir.
Okay.
You're like,
I got lots of comments on that.
Yeah, I don't like the changes either. There's supposed to be a presentation tomorrow night at the NAC meeting on GIS. I was thinking of going just to hear that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yay, next on our agenda is Karen. She's going to talk to us about volunteering, which is a real key element.
I'm too short to stand behind that. Anyway, so my name is Karen Llewellyn, and I manage the volunteer program here for Clark County Public Works. Obviously, it encompasses roads and parks, so I do the volunteer program for both of those divisions. Next slide, please. So I just want to give you a quick program overview about the program itself. The Parks Volunteer Program started in December of 2010, and it was designed to supplement and support our grounds maintenance staff. And a key element here is that our great grounds maintenance staff actually provide a lot of support to volunteer events. They lead some of the volunteer events, and they do a lot of behind-the-scenes preparation as well. So we work very closely together now, and it's been going really well. We have two types of volunteers. We have episodic volunteers, and those individuals are one-time volunteers. So they come out to our weekend work parties or to days of service. And then we also have ongoing volunteers, and those are weekly volunteers, monthly volunteers, volunteers that participate in the Adopt a Park or Adopt a Road program, as well as you guys, you're all volunteers too. So both the Adopt a Park and Adopt a Road program, those were both launched in the fall, or in 2012, and they've been pretty successful, especially Adopt a Road, that seems to have really taken off, and people are really getting interested in that, so it's been neat to watch those programs grow. And the program itself has grown significantly since 2011. We've had about 4,800 volunteer hours in 2011, and we've come up to about 14,500 this past year in 2015. So our volunteers do a whole host of activities. They do litter cleanup, they do invasive plant removal, trail maintenance, tree plantings, garden maintenance. Talked about Adopt a Road, Adopt a Park. We now have park hosts at three of our parks actually, Branton Canyon Park and Moulton Falls Park. Actually, we'll have a new set of park hosts starting at Hazel Dell Park next week, hopefully. So that's been a kind of a new program that we're trying out, and it's been really nice to have individuals at our parks to be eyes in the park, kind of living there, and they're really able to let us know what's going on and to serve the public as well. And then, of course, the Parks Advisory Board, you know, you guys are all volunteers as well. So who are our volunteers? We have many, many different types of volunteers. Our primary volunteers seem to be faith-based groups, students, and scouts. But we also have neighborhood associations, businesses, various service organizations like Rotary Clubs and Lions Clubs. We have multiple families that volunteer with us, as well as nonprofits and just individuals who want to get out and give back to their parks as well. So we have a lot of ongoing projects in the volunteer program, but I wanted to highlight a couple that really have been kind of with us for almost the duration of the program and are just really big improvements in our parks and trail system. And one of those is Whipple Creek Regional Park. The trail system out there is it's about more than four miles long. It is heavily used by hikers, bikers, and equestrians. It's extremely muddy, or used to be extremely muddy, especially during the rainy winter months. That's kind of an example of what it used to look like. And we now have a very active volunteer group out there, spearheaded by an individual named Anita Will. She kind of founded the Whipple Creek Restoration Committee, and they have been working pretty much since 2011 to really restore those trails and make them accessible year-round. That's kind of an example of what many of the trails look like now. They have done a tremendous amount of work. So you can see, since we started working with them, they've donated over 4,000 hours to that park alone. We've started working with the Washington Trails Association several years ago, and they too do a lot of work out there, and they do a lot of trail reroutes. They're very skilled in trail work, and they've been working on kind of rerouting trails to make them, improve drainage and things like that. So they've done a lot of work for us as well. And the Vancouver Lake Regional Park Trail Extension. So that's another project that we've been working on. We're going on to, well, this is our third year now, but we plan on getting it done very shortly here. We are installing an entire 1 mile long section of trail. It's a new section of trail. And it was actually funded by a grant from the Parks Foundation of Clark County, particularly the Dorothy Langsdorff Trail Fund. And that's been supplying materials for us for the trail work there. And this is just kind of an example of the steps that the Washington Trails Association has been taking out there. They are primarily the volunteers that have been working on this project. So they started off by brushing out the trail, and then leveling the ground, grading the ground, making it level, and then installing landscape fabric. That will be beneficial for long-term maintenance. We won't have weeds popping up through the gravel over time. And then after they secure the landscape fabric, they have been spreading gravel over the top of that. So, one second, sorry, Jerry. We've got about 1,200 feet left to gravel, and we are expected to get that done in the next, hopefully, 2 months. So it is almost there. You can absolutely use it now. It's pretty much open to the public, but we just have about 1,200 feet left to gravel. So looking forward to that being finally completed. We also work with a lot of Eagle Scouts. That's becoming more and more popular these days with our scouts, as they know that we can, you know, provide projects for them. And they've been doing a lot of great projects around the county. They've donated nearly 3,000 hours total since we started working with them in 2011. This picture here is a scout that built turtle basking platforms for a turtle pond at Salmon Creek Greenway along the trail there. So he installed those, and they're doing other projects such as building bat boxes, picnic tables, kiosks, directional signs, and they're also doing some trail work for us. Another project that we have going is the Vancouver Volunteer Program. And this is actually a joint project with the City of Vancouver. I work pretty closely with the volunteer coordinator over there. Her name is Haley Heath. And we started this program in 2014, and it's meant to target youth ages 14 to 19 for Thursday after-school work parties. And the idea behind that is that, you know, we've got all these youth who have required service hours. Many of them are very busy on the weekends with sports and other activities. And there was a we got a lot of feedback from individuals saying, you know, we can't do stuff on the weekends. Could we maybe start doing some weekday work parties? We said, sure, give it a shot. So it is definitely growing. We've been seeing a lot of kids coming out to work with us. This is the Skyview Cross Country team that came out to pull blackberries at Whipple Creek. They've come back a couple times, actually, to participate in the volunteer program. Days of service are another big component of the volunteer program. There's three primary days of service that we focus on each year. The first one is in January, and that's coming right up. It's the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. And every year we have some sort of an event to encourage people to come out and give back on that day. This year we'll be working at the Salmon Creek Greenway doing some blackberry removal. And we're going to hold that project on Monday the 18th, so the actual Martin Luther King Jr. Day. In September, we also have another day of service. It's called the Clark County Connects Day of Service. And that project has been going for several years now. And it's actually it's a countywide project. It's not just for Clark County Parks. The city is involved. Various individuals are involved who have needs for work at their home. And we work with, it's primarily spearheaded by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they do tremendous work every year. It's just so neat to see the impact. We've got thousands of volunteers that come out to do work that day. And then finally, in October, we've got Make a Difference Day. And that's a really popular day of service as well. The annual event that we do is the Make a Difference Day cleanup. The butt stops here. And this is also a joint cleanup that we do with the City of Vancouver. And what we do is we go out to various city and county parks, and we pick up cigarette butts and other litter. And we've removed 92 pounds of cigarette butts from county and city parks since the first event in 2011. So pretty gross, actually, when you think about it. But also pretty neat to see the impact.
2%.
Adopt a Park, a little more information about that program. That, like I said, was started in the spring of 2012. And it's pretty basic requirements. It just requires that whoever goes ahead and adopts a park that they volunteer on a monthly basis, and that they commit to at least 6 months. Most people who have adopted parks have continued their adoption much further or much longer than 6 months. And they do a bunch of different projects. They remove litter, help maintain trails, just cleaning park features like benches and play equipment, things like that. We've got 17 active park adoptions. These ladies here, this is Darby and Jolynn, they are just some wonderful volunteers. They have been cleaning a Frenchman's Bar Park for a couple years now, and this is pretty much what they find in the summer every year. And it's every time they go out there, they end up with that much trash. And it's they clearly are doing a lot of work, and they love it. They love volunteering. They're just a neat couple of people to work with. And this past year, the 1,700 volunteer hours were donated through the Adopt a Park program. Adopt a Road is another program that we've been very successful here at the county. It requires a little more. In terms of the time commitment on a single work party, because it's about 4 miles of road that each person or each group adopts, because we typically say about 2 miles, but it's there and back or on either side of the road, so it's about 4 miles. So it does take quite a while for a single cleanup, but we've been seeing people having no problem with committing to that. We've had about 18 sections of road that have been adopted. These volunteers here are from the actual the September Day of Service, and this is a church actually in Philida that's adopted Highway 99. And just an example of what 18 different sections of the road volunteers can do is we've got 413 bags of litter that were removed from our road sites in 2015. So that's a significant amount of litter from just 18 sections of road. So you can think about how much there is out there in the county. So we're hoping to just continue to grow that, and I definitely want to focus more on that this year. And future projects. We've always got new projects coming up. It seems like you just finish one up and there's something else on the horizon. One of those is the Frenchman's Bar Park disc golf course, and that's just kind of in the initial phases. We're working on the permit applications at this time. We're hoping to see construction start in this summer. It's going to be 18 holes, and this is actually fully volunteer driven. Volunteers are doing the permits. They're going to be doing the construction. This is one of those projects that I think is going to be a really neat end result that you can really show the impact that volunteers can make. And then another adopt-a-program that we've got coming up is Adopt-a-Rain Garden. And this is going to be hopefully launching this spring. And we're going to start by focusing in the Mount Vista area. There's several rain gardens. They're very small, actually. This is an example of one of them. It's just going to, we're hopefully going to get volunteers out there to just do regular maintenance on them, pulling weeds and removing leaves and debris and stuff that end up in there. So looking to see that launch this spring, hopefully. Everything. Thank you for listening. Does anyone have any questions about the program? Yeah.
Well, when you have like the rain gardens where they come out and do the weeding, do you provide some type of training to identify what's a weed?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in all of our programs, we do provide training, and for the Adopt a Rain Garden, we will definitely be providing a handout. I'm working with Environmental Services on that currently to kind of help people identify. Yeah, because a lot of people don't know what's a weed, what's not. So what do you pull, what do you not pull? And yes, there's definitely training involved in that.
How many hours in total are you going to have? Through the volunteer program.
Over the whole lifetime? Oh, that's a great question. I will say, I'm trying to think, I just recently, as always tells me in my program, I think it's just over 60,000 hours since 2011.
It's a lot of hours.
Yeah, it's a lot of hours. A lot of people giving back. Any other questions?
Great. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you channel them in the right direction, Karen.
Oh, well, it's all them, really.
We're looking forward to working more with you this year as we stretch our fingers out into the community more.
Sure. Look forward to that. Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you, Karen. Next on our agenda is an issue that has transpired over the, since last August, that has reached a kind of I asked Bill if we could put the Pearson property, Paradise Point, back on our agenda. We've talked about this a couple of times in the last 6 months. And you're probably aware that in December, the councilors voted to surplus and sell this property. How many of you have been out and seen this actual location? Okay, I know a number of you have been out in some of the field trips that we've taken. And I know that there was a large outreach in December as this became closer and closer to the councilors. I don't believe that there was a single person that spoke up and said, get rid of this land. And in fact, everybody who spoke stated, this makes no sense. The property was actually purchased back in June of 1996, and it was part of a 127-acre acquisition that covered an extensive waterfront on the East Fort Lewis River, which is the Clark County's largest free-flowing stream area, the largest. And it is a year-round tributary known as the McCormick Creek. The properties were purchased with county conservation funds and with a WWRP water access grant. Now, as such, those two things had within them a deed of right that required that we protect those properties into perpetuity to serve current and future generations. And that's one of my favorite things, phrases, because truly that's what we are, is we are stewards of the lands. And maintaining these type of areas so that our children and children, I think of the places I played as a child, some of them have gone away too. And what a huge loss that you can't take your children there. I think that you mentioned earlier, one of you did down here in this corner, once a property is developed and gone, it's gone. So the fact that they've actually put this on the market hasn't happened yet. It is incorporating 20 acres. That doesn't really actually include any shoreline, but I can tell you if you've been out there, the plan for it, I was talking with Bill Daggert, plan was for a viewpoint there, for it to be a trailhead, because there's a lot of trails that are there and that are being developed along that walk area, that particular part of the river. There's a few gaps that we're hoping to fill in, and part of the plan that the councilor stated was, oh, we're going to sell off these 20 acres to go buy these over here. However, that's not needed to get this land over here, because there are conservation future dollars available to go get those connecting pieces without sacrificing this just magnificent piece of property. The 20 acres occupy the highest point on the property, and it has absolutely stunning views. I'm just breathtaking. I kind of envisioned when I was there looking at it, if you've been up along the gorge at the crest there where they've got the little magnifying view, I can see one of those there. Just totally see it there, because it's, I have trouble finding words because it truly takes your breath away there. But there are other potential improvements that had been identified in the plan when this land was purchased, you know, to include the trailheads, trails, viewpoints, picnic tables, shelters, possibly a caretaker's residence, because there is a house on that property, by the way. Currently, and I think that Lori Lebowski, she did a email over the holidays that addressed the fact, all the reasons why we shouldn't get rid of this, and the fact that that property there with the house, that the rental monies that we get from that far exceeds any amount that the county might recover in the way of property taxes, which is why they're saying we should sell it, so we can get property taxes off that. So it doesn't make any sense. But you can go through, I tried to capture some of the key things here, because this started last August and we've been actively trying to protect this land since. Because of the way that there are covenants associated with this property, it truly would cost us money to sell that property. Meaning you have to pay back the grants, you have to find, there is no equivalent land out there, I can tell you. But you're supposed to replace it with equivalent land because of the encumbrances on the property. So you'd sell it, you'd pay back more on the grants, and then not have to come up with money to, just the studies, the time it would take for the staff to do the studies to unencumber us from this land is just crazy, especially when nobody really wants to get rid of it. So the key issue, once the land is gone and out from under us, it's gone. We need to maybe rethink this decision, and I've had some discussions over the holiday with some of our counselors, our new counselors. It would be good if WEPAB were to maybe put in writing and bring forth to them a request to reconsider that decision to get rid of the property. I wanted to bring this, and I know that some of you are new and haven't heard these discussions throughout the last 6 months, and I didn't want to take a ton of time rehashing all of the facts, but I did want to give you at least some of the key elements here and say I really feel this is an important time for us, because once this slides down that slippery slope and gets sold, we're not going to be able to recover it, folks. So I wanted to ask you, what is your feeling on us taking, we are an advisory group, and it's true that while I hold a personal opinion on this, I believe that I'm doing my due diligence in actually reflecting to the group, my constituents, what I've heard from everybody else. It's not a personal request I'm bringing to you. This is from the community around me that has major concerns about losing this land. So I feel really comfortable saying that as a PAB representative, that I see it my job to let the counselors know, this is really not what people want to see happen, and could you please reconsider that decision? So I'm going to throw it to the floor and say, are we comfortable going forward and giving this advice to our counselors?
What was the reasoning in selling it?
What was cited was the park is sitting there. It hasn't been turned into a park. It was actually deemed a farm, which it's not the case. What we typically do with park properties until such time that we develop them is to lease out the property. And that what that does is it provides us a revenue that comes in. So like Barbara said, there's a house on the property that we're collecting $1,900 a month on.
Grazing land?
What's that?
And there's also grazing land,
which is on a separate lease down below as part of that 20 acres. And that does two things. Provides revenue, and we don't have to go out there and maintain it at our expense. And so it's open property, and at such time in the future, when we have the funding and we prioritize that, we turn that into park property.
So the revenue outweighs the expense of the property?
Absolutely, yes. It's not costing us anything to maintain.
How much revenue does it bring per year?
Pearson brings us $1,900 a month.
$19,000 a year.
Well, I think Lori stated it in there. I thought it was 20-something.
It is. It's $1,900 a month.
And that includes the leasing of the grounds for grazing?
Yes. And what we get out of the deal is, well, yeah. And then what's nice is we don't have to actually go out there and maintain the property at all. So it costs us nothing. It's a perfect way to hold the property until such time that we've developed it.
And that $20,000, where does it go? Just back in the general fund?
Actually, it comes back into, I think it is our general fund, yes. Yeah, so it does show up as a revenue, operating revenue that we charge against, you know, for our expense here to maintain parks.
Do you know what it's been valued at?
What's that?
Do you know what the property's been valued at?
I haven't seen what it's valued at. It's not dividable, you know, below right now.
So
at this point in time, it's
not
dividable.
Can't be worth that much, then.
So you're not
going to get anywhere near $20,000 in property tax revenue.
Like what Barbara said, it is a pristine view property that's going to be irreplaceable along the rest of the corridor of the river.
And their argument back when was that they were going to sell it and get more riverfront property elsewhere.
Yes, that was another argument.
And I'm not sure it's a fair question to ask, but can they indeed get a comparable amount of riverfront property for the...
Well, I know Pat Lee has been trying to do that even before this all happened. That his goal is to try to capture all the property along so we can create a trail system that goes from Paradise Point essentially to Lewisville Park. And so there are some gaps right now that we're trying to fill. And that was... Councilor Milky was stating that we could use those funds to go out and fill those gaps. The one thing that's going to be very difficult on this property is that it was grant encumbered. So we use grant funds to purchase the property, which means we have to go through a grant conversion and it is a very time-consuming process. Just talking to Pat Lee, back when we did a grant conversion down at Salmon Creek Park to accommodate at the treatment plant pump station, which was what we all wanted to happen, that's when we got Foley property as a replacement property. That grant conversion is just now being completed, and that was several years ago. So it is a long, long process, and it cost, I'm going to say, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in staff time. So at least $100,000, probably more.
They don't make it easy.
So do we have to pay that in perpetuity?
They do that on purpose because when they provided it, it was so that we would maintain this gorgeous space and it would stay there available to public access.
Is that the property right there?
Yeah.
Where's Paradise Point?
To the west. Sort of along the highway.
Right there.
Yep.
This is Paradise Point.
Our property essentially abuts Paradise Point.
So we would have to pay it back,
here,
right?
Now, Bill, the filling the gaps. Pat Lee was doing that before. This sale of the property here has nothing to do with us whether we get that other property or not. Because my understanding from talking with the group is that we've got Conservation Future funds available, is what he stated, to buy that riverfront area, should we be able to negotiate a price.
That's correct. That's what that is his essential mission, yeah, is to close these gaps for future use, and right, also, I mean, to hold property in conservation mode. And so, what Barb was talking about with Lori Lebowski, mm-hmm, that sent a letter to Councilor Olson, is because Councilor Olson requested that letter.
Yes, she asked.
Requested some information, so Pat Lee and I crafted some information and routed it through Lori to answer her questions. I would think that what Barbara is talking about right now would be a very good idea. Our Parks Advisory Board did craft a letter mid last year.
Yeah, but it got watered down a little bit.
Well, but it was to basically ask that the Parks Advisory Board be involved with any decision making when it comes to surplusing properties.
Yeah.
This is a little different. I think what Barbara's asking is to craft a letter to reverse the decision.
Yeah, what she stated to me when I chatted with her at the site, swearing in, mm-hmm, about this, was that in order for them to reconsider it, that a formal request to do so would do a great deal to initiate that action.
Yes.
Well,
and
I think
it doesn't have to be.
I'm sorry. I think in the formal request, though, we need to put some of the facts, you know, money facts, because, you know,
sure,
a lot of times it's driven by money, unfortunately. But it doesn't sound to me that it's really costing anything. It's not hurting anything. And, you know, my question would be, okay, if we sell it, what are you going to buy? Because it sounds like because it was bought with grant money, we have to turn around and buy like in kind. Is that kind of how it works?
Yes, it's got to be.
So nothing's really been identified that's even like in kind that I'm hearing.
There is nothing in kind.
So it's, you know.
This is great land.
So that should be probably one of our points, is here we are. It's not costing us any money. In fact, we're making revenue from this property. And on top of that, because it was bought with this types of funds, we have to identify like in kind. There is no like in kind, so we're not understanding why this was granted,
yeah,
when financially it's not really making any sense. And then two, the county could end up probably having to pay all the money back if we don't find like in kind. Is that the consequence for not getting the grant?
Yes.
And I don't know how much the grant was, but do we really want to be on the hook for $100,000, whatever it was that we got originally to buy that property? Because that's what's going to happen.
Did I bring that
if they milk? Sell it and can't find like in kind, that money they make, they're just going to have to give back, and then nothing. I mean, then there's nothing for Parks and Rec to benefit from any of it. You know what I mean?
Plus minus the staff time that's gone into it so far.
Exactly.
Do I remember correctly that the land around it is also county,
yes,
owned or otherwise?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was part of 197 acres.
Yeah, and so that's another aspect
too.
Is you're gutting a part of a you're
taking the high viewpoint,
yeah,
off of it.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing.
Piece of the property is
so that. So Jeremy, that one you just clicked, and the one to the right of that,
so
that
this one and that
is owned by the county.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And
yeah.
That piece too.
Oh.
Yeah. It's all part of 197 acres.
Oh. Okay.
Of a plan.
We just keep going up. We own the property on both sides of the center bridge, all the way up. There's a few gaps,
yeah,
as you get closer to Louisville.
Wow.
And then we got properties that actually cross on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
So
wow,
there's some gaps to fill. But
I didn't know that.
Potential.
Yeah. And the intent is to extend that all along the river there.
Sure.
Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a stunning place. It's gorgeous.
Were we asked about that before they made this decision,
no,
or did we have any input at all?
No, but we've been active in small groups,
sure,
informally, away from it, and that's where I'm saying it's, as an advisory board, are we comfortable making a statement that we would request that decision be reconsidered, stating, as
based
you said, the basic facts,
mm-hmm,
of why we think it adds no value,
right,
to get rid of this, and in fact creates a gap that could never be filled.
So my recommendation would be we not only make that request that they reconsider, but reiterate our request from last year that they include us in such
the
decisions.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I would add that in this letter.
Right.
And the reason why is because I'm not sure that would go over as well as if we're just stating facts.
You're a good point.
You know what I mean?
I think the one action we want is we want that reconsidered and hopefully reversed.
Yeah.
That we want to protect these irreplaceable lands.
I think a big part of it is if it's really going to cost more than the land's worth to do this, paying back or acquiring new or converting your grant or whatever. I mean, money talks to them. That's all they see. So I think you definitely have to bring that in. I don't know how we put a value onto that, how much a grant conversion would cost.
Well, you can,
or if it's even possible.
Yeah, you can do the very simple one of here's how much money we're receiving on it right now.
Right.
Here's the assessor's value on it and what you'd actually get in property tax, and you're losing.
And you can butt it up against what's done in the past, right? This is, you can compare it to another piece of property that's already been.
Yeah, but I think that that's up to staff to provide those hard facts and data.
Yes.
As an advisory board, I see that we can go at the high level statement because I think it is irrefutable that it is that those lands are irreplaceable, that it's our recommendation that they be protected and preserved for future generations, that the decision we feel does not carry any financial, you know, advantage.
I think we need to put some facts in there. It's easier for us to put it in our letter versus staff having
to go. Sure, well, we can pull the facts out from Lori's letter.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
Because Lori did provide some of the facts.
I just think we need to provide the facts versus expecting staff to go forward.
Well, they've already done it.
Yeah.
The only problem.
Well, and I know.
So, but we can reiterate.
Can you go to PIC on the property, please?
Yeah. I think it would.
I don't think we want this to be a staff-driven.
No. This is from our perspective. That's what I'm trying to keep is that I don't want it to look like it was fed in, but we can pull out some of the facts and data. I think Bill Daggert provided me with some of the facts.
And we're allowed to ask for facts from you guys. So I mean,
well, we don't have a whole lot of time on this if we want to, because the decision
sounds like
was made in December.
By
February, it has already been referred out. So by February, at least that's what I was told, that it would roll fast once it goes. So we've got to get this done, I'd say, in the next week, if we're going to do it. If not, I have no problem.
Let's do it.
Flapping my jaw.
Okay, so.
So do we have a motion?
Move to request, I'll take it right off of here. Move to request the county councilors to reconsider their decision to surplus the property. Paradise Point property.
Pearson property.
And do you want to write the actual text for that?
How about we partner together?
All right, and in part of my motion is also that co-chairs write the text and pass it back to you for reference, but also on to the councilors within the next week.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Super, thanks for your support. So, cranking right along, we've got some fun stuff coming up from Bill.
Okay. I talked about this. Yes, okay. I've talked about this with you folks this last year, but I. Can you bring that up, Jeremy? It's the Brush Prairie Softball. Last year, the owners of the Brush Prairie Softball facility, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with the location of it. It is 144th Street right here, and Highway 503 is right here to the west. So if you come down 144th, a lot of you might be familiar with the softball complex that has been in place for several years now, and it's a total of 33 acres. It's owned by a family who lives right here. And they approached us about the possibility of wanting to get out of the business of programming softball, and they wanted to sell it to us. And anyway, so being that it is kind of in the vicinity of City of Battleground, we, both the City of Battleground and ourselves, that would be Debbie Hansen, she's a director for City of Battleground, met with these folks and discussed the possibility of buying this property from them, provided we had the resources to do so. And so that was about, that was several months ago. I think I brought this up to the Parks Advisory Board at that time just as a possibility because I'd like to keep you informed. So the one thing we realized more recently is that this property actually touches the park in PIF District 6. Here's the line right here. It's just outside of the boundary. And so it actually, what that means to me is it does service the area of PIF District 6. And it is, it's the same exact thing that we did with Hawkinson Meadows Park, which is not inside of PIF District, but it touches a PIF District line. And so we bought that property and turned it into a big community park with sports fields.
Beautiful park.
Yep, and so this is the same scenario where we've got a property that we can potentially use PIF District 6 funds on, and we do have the funding to buy this piece of property. The market assessment that these property owners gave to me, which I always like to hear what the owners want from the property, was approximately $650,000. Now, had this property been divided, you know, for plotted for housing, I'm sure it would be up in the probably $4 or $5 million, given the size of the acreage.
Wow. How large is it?
What's that? About 32 acres. It's got multiple ball fields on it. And this building right here.
Dinger Dome.
This is a Dinger Dome. Correct. I don't think it's in use anymore. That's for, it was indoor pitching. But we would essentially take the entire property minus this piece right here because these folks want to live, continue to live on this property here. And so that doesn't affect the fields at all. What it doesn't do is it does not add more ball fields to the county, but it doesn't take any away from us. I think if we were not to buy this, they would eventually sell to the private sector who would eventually put houses on this and these ball fields would go away.
What's it zoned? Any idea?
I don't know. The one thing that catches my eye is that I think they're only paying about, I think it's only valued at $35,000 in property taxes right now. So
wow.
That must have it. Some
go to the property information page and it'll tell you the zoning.
Bill. Oh, by the way.
Good guess, you're in the wrong spot.
So while he's looking at that, even though we do have the funding to potentially purchase this property, we don't necessarily have the funding to maintain the property. It does create a revenue from the sports leagues that are playing out there. It's basically where a lot of the adult leagues play, softball, but there's also a little league component that goes along with it. And so talking to the City of Battleground folks, they are in desperate need of ball fields for their little league teams. And I've got a meeting scheduled with Debbie Hansen Monday morning to talk further about this property. And from a preliminary discussion I had with her just earlier this week, she is very interested in going further with us and would probably like to establish a long-term lease with us or an interlocal agreement to where they would actually maintain the property and provide all the sports programming of the site. And we'd have to talk about how much we would get out of the lease ourselves to kind of reimburse us. Plus, we'd have them make all the major repairs on the property, you know, to make the improvements, repairs, that kind of thing. So I see it as a win-win. PIF District 6 is second concurrency behind PIF District 10. We've had a private consultant working on our behalf to search for properties in PIF District 6 and 10 with not a great deal of luck. They found a piece of property just due south of this. It's a little sliver of land right here. It's bank owned. And we could buy that, but I don't see what real purpose it serves us when we have this huge opportunity at us right here in the face. And so I think this would be a much better acquisition for us if we were to pursue that.
Sounds pretty much perfect right down the line.
Yeah, it sounds like it meets the needs, but we can use a PIF 6 without any question or concerns coming to get us out of concurrency.
The one thing I was going to do, I know back when Hawkinson was purchased, I know Gene Akers was the project manager on that site for the with Vancouver Clark Parks, and she was very instrumental in the acquisition of that site. And I want to see what process she went through to acquire Hawkinson Park, because that is the same exact scenario that we've got here. And it was done, and it did serve that PIF district, yeah. Just like this one would serve PIF District 6.
No doubt, you know, absolutely.
You take
no
a
doubt.
Circle around this site, it's, you know, it's really broad. So I talked to Keith about it this morning again, and we're kind of on board with going forward if it's feasible, if the price is reasonable. It seems like the family is very well motivated. They do have a monument for the father who had passed. They'd like to see that stay there, you know, and I think, hey, I have no objections to that whatsoever. That's fine.
Where's so the monument at?
It's right up here by the driveway coming in. I think it's right. I think it's right up in here somewhere. So, anyways, what I would like to have done first is get a recommendation from the Sparks Advisory Board to pursue this further. And so,
is there any other opportunity on that site for something besides ball fields?
We kind of looked at that. Jeremy and Eric and I kind of went out originally looked at that and said, look, can we do some soccer overlays on this? And there's a possibility. We've got some land here. The way it's kind of laid out, we might be able to do something different here. Or maybe eliminate a ball field, put soccer in there, so we get mixed use.
Right.
This piece right here has been slated for overnight camping. There's actually camping sites here, or you know, hookups. And that's something that we can take a look at, maybe changing that around, and just kind of looking at the whole structure of the site and maybe trying to get the maximum efficiency out of it, but without removing, you know, fields. If we're going to take a field out, we'd replace it with something different, like a soccer field or something.
You have some massive eagle's nests in those trees in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
But of course, this area is pretty well slated for parking. You're just not going to get away from that. You know, if you're going to have a site this big, you're going to have to have parking, so we'll have to figure that out. So.
Okay.
So we'd like to pursue this further, and I'd like to get your recommendation to move forward with it if I can.
Sounds like a real opportunity we don't want to miss.
Absolutely.
I'm open to a no.
Awesome.
Motion.
Somebody else move. I've moved everything else so far today.
So you're asking for just approval to
recommendation to move forward.
Yes. Yeah, I'll make a recommendation to move forward with the planning or decision
to support the possible acquisition.
Yeah.
I guess, Bill, the thing I don't understand is that you have an agenda for parks and ball fields now, and I guess where does the money come from, the $650,000 that...
Are you familiar with our PIF funds that we have? Okay, it's in your... I'm sorry. The one thing we didn't cover earlier was that we gave you each a book, and in that, it kind of gives you a little a profile of our funding sources, and there's quite a bit of reading in there, but expectations as a Parks Advisory Board, all that stuff is in there, so I apologize.
One of the things we might do, Bill, especially for our three new members,
yes,
maybe separate from the next PAD meeting, we might set up a short training where we might share with you guys
some of these
key elements.
I think it's a great idea. If maybe the three of us can meet. We can just
talk
about all
that?
Things parks.
So a quick explanation, though, just to answer the question.
Okay, so our park impact fees, we collect those from development. So anytime a subdivision goes into place, there's a fee collected for each lot. And so what the county collects is park impact fees, school impact fees, and traffic impact fees. And so we get a piece of money that comes into the park. PIF, Park Impact Fee District, based on where it was collected at. So we've got six districts all together. This one is particularly PIF District 6. Mm-hmm. And so in our history, those monies that came to the Park Impact Fees, the districts, was broken down into acquisition and development. And so over the years, we've accumulated about $1.4 million in PIF 6. And then we've also got money in our development fee. In the beginning of this last year, both those acquisition and development were combined. So anything coming in from 2000, I think it's 2014, is that right, Keith? Beginning of 2014 is when it happened. Any money's coming into PIF is a combined, so we can use it for acquisition or development. So. Between the six districts, we've got, you can see the fundings that we've got through there. And there's a sheet in, I believe,
It also, and if you look at the comp plan, it also helps fulfill the need for sports fields.
So within our urban unincorporated area, that's where the park impact fees can be utilized, and this actually qualifies because it is touching a urban unincorporated line, the PIF line. And so everything outside of the urban unincorporated area is not eligible, and so that's where the problem lies with having no money. Yeah. And so we rely on grants, we rely on monies coming in through real estate excise tax fees, which we have not gotten in the recent history.
One other important point to PIFs is that we have a time limit to spend it.
And that's what concurrency is. PIF District 6 is at a point where if we don't spend it, the monies have to be returned.
Yeah. We have 10 years from the time that we collect it to spend it. Otherwise, it goes back to the individuals who live on those particular lots where it was generated from. And so the last thing we want to do is to get into concurrency and give away that great amount.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table made by Adam that PAB supports and recommends that staff pursue the possible acquisition of the Brush Prairie Softball Complex. Is there a second?
I second that motion.
Second by Dave. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.
Super. That's it. And we talked, when you talked about this the last time, we talked about maybe taking a little field trip out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can go out there, take a look. And that's what a great family that owns that site. And they're very accommodating. Obviously, you know that the whole family is about recreation because they've been maintaining that as ball fields for so many years. Yeah. They're getting tired. They want to move on.
Sure. Yeah.
They want to, well, basically, our mission is to hold it to perpetuity. So
there you go.
They have the same mindset that we do. And as a result, I think they're trying to keep it reasonable for us to acquire, because we told them we don't have money. So,
well, that's a golden opportunity for us.
Yeah, are you looking at only acquiring the ballpark portion or the whole thing with them still living on it?
We would have to slice off that piece where they live. That's their homes down there in that bottom piece there, and they're asking if we could, you know, not acquire that piece from them. So I think they're pricing it accordingly as well. So regardless, the one thing we'll have to do is a perform an appraisal of the site. It's required by law for us to do that, and then we will know exactly what the market value is, and then from there we can negotiate a purchase price from them.
What is the rule on that? When you've got your assessed that or your market appraisal,
mm-hmm.
how far are you allowed to go away from that?
By law, we can only exceed that by 10%.
That's what. Okay.
And that's interesting because I know I've been looking at prices lately on homes. And it seems like a lot of the homes, if you go out to GIS and look at their tax appraisal, not that we want our taxes to go up, but I find that houses have been running about 40 or 50K above that as far as the market value or the pricing on it.
Above
so
market
that
value?
Above the assessed value.
What you see in the assessed value is usually far below what the market value is.
But it can cut both ways. They lag behind it.
Yeah.
Where the market's going, assessed values follow.
Yeah.
Or if you put your house on the market, they'll raise your taxes for whatever you put your house on the market for, and then if you don't sell it for that, they don't lower them. Just FYI.
Just speaking from experience, it sounds like.
Yeah. My assessed value is more than I can sell my house for.
Yikes.
Oh, man.
Hey, Bill, real quick.
Okay, so.
Yes, sir.
What was the name of the property next to Paradise Point?
It's Pearson.
Pearson.
P-E-A-R-S-O-N.
Yeah.
It's at the top of my handout.
Yeah, I thought there was a different. I thought someone used a different name earlier.
No, it said Paradise.
Manager's report.
That's me. Okay.
That's you again, Bill.
Okay. We got 15 minutes. I'll try to hustle through most of this. Cougar Creek Woods concept plan staff report. That is ready to go, along with the attachments that Melotta has so diligently sent me. And so, Melotta, we're going to try to send that forward this month and get it in front of the board. I talked to Heath about that. Seems to be okay with us moving forward with it.
Yeah,
so
we just left
on this. Oh, did you? Great. Thank you, Dave. And so, this month, Melotta, we'll try to get that in front of the board and get that approved, okay? All right. Camp Hope Master Plan. for us, that was one thing that Councilor Bolt, or now Chairman Bolt, kind of did before in his earlier tenure with the county, is he allowed these folks to come in and take over what we called at the time Camp Lewisville. Mm-hmm. And it was based on Battleground Schools, youth at risk group, to have some outdoor schools and to allow for some recreation components to be out there. The Camp Lewisville was kind of in derelict form. It used to be an old Girl Scout camp, and all the buildings were in rough, rough shape. And it's geographically located, it's right across the river from Lewisville Park. It's on the opposite side of the river. It's about the same size as the
huge piece. I pulled in there accidentally when
yes,
we went out, remember?
Chance to
and I got lost down that little skinny road.
In fact, when we go on our tour, I want to show you that site because it is amazing what these folks have done with these buildings. They're going through pod by pod, building by building, and completely rebuilding them from the ground up. It is amazing what they've done. And so the one thing that they want to do, they want to build a big building, essentially a big cafeteria out there for students and kids. And just so you know, that this site is open to the public. It's not, you don't just drive in there and use it, but if you reserve, and they don't charge hardly anything, you can reserve it for groups up to 500 people. If you have church groups, school groups, sports leagues, anybody who wants to use that site, they're more than happy to accommodate. But the infrastructure has a ways to go. They need to get into permitting and design and construction to make this happen. It is a park. The first thing we need to do is come up with a master plan. And a couple years ago, our county forester went through their identified hazard trees and did some selective thinning of Camp Hope, and which really opened it up and made it really nice and much more safe than it is. As a result, we got proceeds, $42,000 in proceeds after the expense of the thinning operation was gone. What we want to do is master plan that site. That's the first major step that we do with any regional facility like that. And so we'd like to execute a contract with a designer, planner, and get that initiated. So I just want to let you know that's kind of underway right now. So those funds are available. We want to use them for that particular purpose. Camp Curry Trail and Sewer Alignment Update. I shared that with you folks last year, and again, I'm sorry for the three of you who are not familiar with it. Camp Curry is a youth camp that we've had. It resides along Lackamas Lake, and I don't have any illustrations, but it is about a 160 acre piece of property right along Lackamas Lake.
Right by the creek.
Yep, mm-hmm. And up Lackamas Creek. And the city of Camas approached us, and they're trying to run a sewer line from downtown Camas up Ledbetter Road, which is the lake road, yeah, and all the way down up to the base of Green Mountain. And so rather than going right up, right down the road and dealing with challenges of elevation, they'd like to go through Camp Curry. And our interest in that project was they would build us a trail. On top of that sewer line would be a trail, which would provide us a major regional connection. And so the proposal that they gave us the other day didn't quite meet exactly what it is that we wanted, but it gets us about three quarters of the way there. And so we're going to have to expend some funding in the future to make those trail connections. What that's going to do is that's going to connect Green Mountain, which we own the whole eastern portion of Green Mountain. It's going to be another big regional site, to Camp Curry. It also connects Camp Curry to the Heritage Lackamas Trail, which most of you might be familiar with. And that Lackamas Heritage Trail, by the way, is the parking lot is being expanded. It's being doubled right now. And so that Lackamas Heritage Trail runs along the whole south side of Lackamas, and our intent is to connect our Lackamas Lake Park, which Lackamas Heritage Trail is connected to, and run it up along the whole north side and makes a huge loop all the way around Lackamas Lake. And it connects us to Green Mountain, connects us to Lackamas Lake Trail. We're going to run down Crown Road and eventually connect into William Clark Park. So it's a big regional trail connection, and it is identified in our comprehensive parks plan. And so it kind of fits well within the scope of what we're trying to do.
And take that a step farther. The mill is talking about abandoning their the water system, what do you call that, the trough that goes
the
from the lake,
and the
lake down. The viaduct, thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Yeah, which could very well become a trail to get you into downtown Camas.
All the way to the river.
And then you can follow the sidewalks all the way out to the port and on up to Stevenson County line.
Yes.
Wow.
Which just rocks.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. So that's happening. That discussion is occurring right now, and so we want to make sure that we try to get those trail connections. Trails are one of the highest priorities, and when Gene Acres was presenting to us, you know, the progress we've made in the last, well, since the last comp plan, I think we had what, 5 miles of trail. And according to
Crest, how slow we
it would take us 500 years to reach our goal. So we want to be a little more proactive and start building more trails out here in the county and start making some of those major connections. And so FEMA damage assessment, we had some, because as a result of the December floods, we did have about 3 parks that were affected, actually 4 sites. We had Lewisville Park was affected. We lost a lot of gravel off the pathways. Our boat ramp was roughed up a little bit. Daybreak Park, the boat launch was really roughed up. The asphalt was actually folded over, and I don't know.
Really?
There's so much debris on the boat launch that I can't tell if the boat launch pads have been moved or not.
Wow.
And then at Pleasant Valley Community Park, we had some big ponds that overflowed and went right down our main trail and just gouged the heck out of it. And then the whole lower section was flooded out. And so we got a lot of debris to remove there. And then, of course, the center bottoms on both sides of the bridge. That entire trail system went underwater. All you can see is the tops of the bridge rails. And we sustained quite a bit of damage on that trail system. The 2 blinds that we've got down there, and some of the culverts were moved. Some of the bridge abutments were scoured. So we turned a lot of that information in this morning. And so with any luck, with the combined damage that is within parks, roads, all the cities around us, we may have hit that number for FEMA that may have qualified us. So we'll see if we qualify for some FEMA relief. If
there's got to be some shelters that need to be re-roofed that you can add.
Yeah,
we tried, but no. And unfortunately, I think the wind event that occurred afterwards, that there was a cutoff right before the wind event. So anyway, so we'll cross our fingers and hope that we do receive some funding for that. Karen, let's see. Karen talked about that. No, she did not. The playground replacement project at Stockford Village Neighborhood Park, thanks to that grant foundation grant that we got from the Parks Foundation. That was fantastic. That project should be wrapping up next Friday, and so we plan to kind of spotlight that when it's done. We've been holding off to make sure that it actually does get done, because the inclement weather we've had lately has been delaying that project, and so we've had some concrete work that's had to wait. And so that should be wrapped up by this next Friday, and it's going to be a huge improvement to what that was. It was one of our first community parks. In fact, I remember that park being built when I was still a temporary employee here about 34 years ago, and it was really minimal. And now we've got platforms, slide swings, and the kids are going to just love it. It's in a great area with a lot of apartment complexes, and I think it's going to be just a great focal point.
On that, on the project for it, I know that the grant was limited just to the playground area, but there was some other area for ADA over. Is that getting done at the same time, that ADA?
The sidewalk improvement, I think, ADA. Not yet.
Not yet.
You know, we've got that identified. We need to get that fixed.
Yeah.
So you can approach it from the north side of the park, but in the intersection there, no, it's just a curb there, so that needs to be done.
Is it possible to kind of slight rabbit trail? Is it possible to on some of these like really cool success stories of like the new playground equipment that brought in to do like get a short snippet of video and like just accumulate all these cool things that have happened over this new year? So that at the end we can just go, boom! You could piece everything together and go, look what we did as a community.
Yeah, that's
a good idea.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Or there's
a great presentation to the council too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
That is one way. One of the things that we talked about is that you're right, Adam. We need to start celebrating successes.
Right. We need
making them more visible to the community and not just the half mile around the park.
Right. Because
mm-hmm. exactly.
A lot of people don't. They don't.
Yeah, but that's a great idea to accumulate a video.
That'll motivate more volunteers also.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, it would fit really nice to put those little snippets on your new website.
And one of the things I stepped out to talk to Karen Llewellyn about is that CBTV is looking for ideas for upcoming segments. And we specifically discussed Stockford Village, in part because of the tie-in with Parks Foundation as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. So the Parks Foundation afforded the installation of the equipment because that's to be done by a certified installer. But our maintenance staff were very involved with the decommissioning the old equipment, getting it prepped and ready to go for the installer to come in. And so one thing I asked Karen Moore, she is our West Parks crew chief, maintenance crew chief. Mm-hmm. She was was the lead, project lead on this. I asked her if she'd like to come in on the February meeting to just give a presentation on the Stockford Village Park play equipment. So she might be here this next month to go over that in much more depth and doing it better than I can.
Quick question for Jeff. Jeff, does the CCTV people, do they accept video from, like, just say, my brothers and I, we've got three or four GoPros between all of us, and we scuba dive, we do a number of different things. We, you know, we'll go for a walk. Do they accept like little video, or does it have to be a special? Does it have to be their video to do?
I can't answer that because I'm not great when it comes to the technical aspect. But of course, they usually shoot their own video.
Okay, they shoot.
But I think there's probably times that they have used little pieces here and there.
Okay. Because I was just curious, just like how, you know, because it'd be cool, if, you know, the CCTV people are for all of Clark County, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we really got to advocate for the parks on, it sounds like, as opposed to have them really jump on board. So I'm just saying, if there's a way to, you know, if you guys go hiking or something, you have a little GoPro, strap it to your dog or, you know, your leg or something, you know, it'd be cool to really to inundate them with some good video of just like, here's three or four of us walking with our dog.
And there's always YouTube.
Or snorkeling down, you know, Merlin.
If you put it on YouTube, we can link on the website very easy to that.
Okay.
It's just a matter of seconds. I'd like to get to the point that we're doing more of that. And one thing I want to make sure that everyone understands is that CBTV is actively looking for story ideas in parks. We usually don't have to sell too hard to them.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. I talked about this already, the Intertwined Alliance. I know Kelly is very interested in staying engaged with them, you know, to have this huge consortium that includes not only Clark County, but the Portland metropolitan area. And so we are engaging. I have been sending one of our staff to all the meetings. We've actually been a partner of Intertwined for the last 2 years since our administration was formed. So basically, we're dues paying members, if you will.
Yes, we're dues paying.
And so they're asking us if we would like to declare a project. And so this is very preliminary. I almost didn't bring it up today because I'm not sure where this is going to go yet. But we plan to hopefully see you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks for coming.
But we're hoping to declare a project. And that's Refuge to Refuge Trail, which would include all the cities, the ports, and a bunch of constituents. I'm hoping corporate funding, private funding, a lot of different things to make this all come together. So there's a lot of key players here. And so we would not necessarily be the lead. What they want is like a triage lead, if you will, like at least three people leading this. Mm-hmm. And moving this thing forward on a regular basis. With the grant that Fish and Wildlife has received, it's $1 million a year. I think it's every year.
Oh, per year?
It is per year, every year. Mm-hmm. I'm going, okay, we can show some money, we'll do anything. You know, that's kind of the mindset I'm in. And so if we can use grant funds for soft costs as well as hard costs, like planning and moving this project forward, I think that's something that's very tangible.
Yeah. Where those partnerships really, when it comes to grant funding and you have, like you said, all along, an interstate, wow.
It's interesting that they're not looking specifically at the project. They're looking at more of getting all these different groups together to work together mm-hmm. on something.
Fits right.
It doesn't, you know, and so we just need something. Well, I was talking to David Cohen. He's like one of the two main guys at the Intertwine. And I said, realistically, it's hard to get people together unless you have something to you know, come around, focus around. And so that was a project that we came up with. And so we're going to present that next Wednesday when we go to that meeting and just see if it sticks. What I like, since it is Fish and Wildlife, Department of Forestry, And if we're connecting the two wildlife refuges together, that includes them.
Can you, Jeremy, could you throw that up? Like, I'm not picturing that in my head where...
Oh, yeah.
What?
I think if you just pull up GIS and just show the county. To the full extent of the county. Okay, there we go.
What do you want to see exactly?
Let's move it up just a little bit. Okay. So here's the Richfield Wildlife Refuge.
Uh-huh.
Here's Staggerwald down here. Wildlife Refuge in this neck of the woods. And so the trail would go from here.
Wow.
All the way to there.
Okay.
33 miles.
Wow, that's awesome.
So it's huge. So we've got
you've got
Richfield, part of Richfield here. Of course, Clark County, all of this. Vancouver, Port of Vancouver. Port of Vancouver, we've actually had discussions with them to connect the port down to Vancouver Lake. And of course you come down here, you get Camas, Port of Camas, Washougal. And then of course you've got all these players that in here that it would affect. But
that's awesome.
That's the thought, is bringing all these different entities together. And it seems like lately we've been talking to all these different entities in one fashion or another. And so I don't think it's going to be all that difficult, especially if we have got some funding behind us.
Yeah.
That would be nice. If without it, we're kind of, I don't know, we'll find out. But David Cohen did say he would help us seek other funding grants and different things, whatever we need. So it's something that we can probably all gather around and make happen. The piece going from Vancouver Lake up to Richfield is one of our priorities. I think it's in our 6-year plan, so it kind of fits well, making regional connections from, you know, Lacamas down to Captain William Clark is another, you know, priority for us. And so I know the city of Camas is annexing east. I think they're all the way up to 164th now. And so the biggest link is I think the city of Vancouver to Camas. There's a lot of the old Highway 14 that needs a trail along, and so I was thinking about that Kelly's piece, the arboretum.
That'd
be a great
trailhead,
stopping point, restroom, the whole bit, you know. So there's a need for it. Anyways, it's just a thought right now, and so I'll know a lot more about our next meeting.
It's
so
tintillating, Bill.
That's great.
It is, you know, and that's kind of our mission as a group is to partner, and so.
Yeah.
All right, so it's actually our top goal. It's stated as our top goal in the conference. Talked about this already. We're still researching properties for purchase, particularly PIF 10, PIF 6, and we do have a lead on a PIF 10 property, which
really?
We're going to go take a look at. It's
probably pretty northern.
149th Street, just east of
11th.
149th Street, just east of 11th.
Oh, yeah, that way. Yeah, it's still on the table.
There's a bank-owned property there. Is that right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
And we're going to go take a look at that this next week.
Oh, I thought
it was
off the table.
It's not utopian, if you will. It's long and narrow, 186 feet wide by 800 feet long. So
and some wetlands within it.
On the very northern tip, but the consultant has given us about 12 different properties,
uh-huh.
but there's always something that's wrong with them that just doesn't make
it
catchable. It doesn't have road frontage, but there's a creek that runs through it. There's 200-foot setback from each direction.
So we're
landlocked.
In that desperation point, though, right? Where
yeah,
we're not quite so picky and dense.
I don't want to buy just to buy. I want to buy something.
I know you don't
want
to buy just to buy,
but we are running out of time.
But if it was on 149th, I will tell you that those three housing developments right there on the northern side of 149th would be delighted if that were acquired.
Yeah. So we're going to look at that.
So
we've had other properties kind of in that general area that landlocked, creeks running through it. There's not buildable. So that's ongoing. I think PIF 6 might be solved if we buy Brush Prairie. That one will be good. And then also I brought to this board, I believe in November, the Tim Brown property. That's in PIF District 9.
That. Mm-hmm.
Since then, in fact, earlier this week, we met with Tim Brown. We got our appraisal back, and the appraisal came back at $1.24 million for this 5-acre piece of property. It's been divided into 22 lots. And this guy, I didn't know what his level of entrepreneurship was, but he's a big-time developer. He knows exactly what he wants for that property, and the appraisal pretty much supports it. We essentially have $1 million in acquisition.
I thought he wanted to help us out and give us kind of a gimme.
That's what Kelly told us, but his wife has, they used to live next to the property, and his wife has always wanted that to be a park. Mm-hmm. That's why he's considering us. What he's proposing to us, he basically said he wants $1 million for the property, and he wants the remaining amount of the value donated back for a tax write-off. And so that's something we can take a look at. We can't, absolutely cannot pay him more than what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so it fits our criteria very well. It is perfectly spaced in between Foley Park and Phillida. It's just like, mm-hmm, right in the middle. We have Sorensen to the south.
Desirable piece of property.
It's an excellent view piece of property. It's really nice. It's terraneous. It's really unique in that sense. So we're going to pursue that. And of course, we got the PAB recommendation to move forward with it. And so thank you for that. And so if it makes sense, we'll take a hard look at it. If we get into a point where we can't afford it, then obviously we'll keep looking. So. Okay, I think that's all I've got. I'm sorry I ran you past by 10 minutes. So there's a lot of other things going on, but like I told you earlier, the one thing I'd like to do with Jeff is to create a what's happening in parks, so that you're not just seeing two parks that are being built, you know. You can see all the other things that we've got going on. The one thing you won't see is these proposals of things that we don't know for sure if they're going to happen or not. That's just for Pat.
And Leon, I wanted to say, I assume that you put together this motions list. Mm-hmm. Nice job.
Thanks.
We do that at our HOA, and that makes it so easy to go back and find out when things happen.
I thought
thank you for doing that.
Time to do that with the new members, just to kind of see what's going on.
Where we can.
So, Laura, Dave, Jay, I'll set up a meeting.
That'd be great.
If you're good with that. And we'll just try to sit down and talk about all things parks. Does that sound good? Get a little history. Sound great?
I'm slowly.
And then also work on that reservation for the summer picnic. And I also will also work on the park tour and try to get something going. So we'll definitely wait until spring. We'll get some nice weather.
Sure. Just so I can see.
So let's do a rocket type round table. And I'll just say, is there anything for the good of the order someone wants to add at this point?
The only thing I've just got to say, I'm very excited with the Port of Camas Washougal. We'll be starting our new park here next month.
Yay! And your partner in the park. Yes. Okay, in that case, meeting's adjourned. We normally do a round table.
Just fine.
Try to keep you
late.
That way I can just get
it's a good, exciting...
Dash me a...